is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mack Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's already Wednesday. I like these four-day weeks. We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios. The Drew and Mike Show with Thomas A. Mazzaway is here on his day. Mark Brandon, Joey, and Facebook brought to you by Mesa Tacos and Tequilas on Main Street in Royal Oak between 3rd and 4th with that big outdoor patio. Ooh, good weekend at Mesa. Saw the... I was crunching the numbers today. Fresh Mexican food, 150 tequilas, and a 10% discount. Mention Drew and Mike at Mesa. And we made it through the fabulous holiday weekend, I guess. And I was watching a bunch of true crime this morning. And then, of course, the Douche Lorette with Maz. And the first story on... TMZ, Maz's Prep, was this Meek Mill story, which I've read so much about this story. It's like this guy can't get in a nightclub, and the world is turned upside down over it. Now, the way I get the story is it sounds like they, I don't know, for whatever reason, I think they're claiming the nightclub was full or he was in a dispute, but...
He was on a list.
Yeah. I keep reading about what a huge lawsuit they have because he has it on... his phone camera. Yeah. I thought casinos could deny you anything, anytime.
I think they could. It's the Cosmopolitan we're talking about.
Yes, in Vegas. And somebody was DJing that he likes. And Meek Mill, I mean, he's pretty much got the world gold card now because the owner of the 76ers and a lot of people helped him get out of prison after the judge sentenced him to 2 to 4 years because he wouldn't put her in his video. Which I swear I read that 500 times. I read it so many times that I almost believed it. Because was the judge ever disciplined for demanding to be in his video and then giving him 4 years in prison?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I really found that kind of hard to believe. And because nothing came of it, it was a harsh sentence. But this guy was on probation, and he violated his probation by leaving. He was booking gigs out of town and not asking if he could leave town. And then he was on an ATV in New York doing wheelies, or I don't know. But when you're on probation, I'm surprised what a big deal probation isn't, to be honest. Because people break probation. Look at Chris Brown.
Yeah.
How many fights has this guy been in when he was on probation?
I'm sure plenty.
Yeah, if you've got the right attorneys, it doesn't matter. So anyway, Meek Mill wasn't allowed into the Cosmopolitan. And now
that's a shame.
Yeah, and so he must have missed an hour. Was a three.
How will we all go on?
It's a hell of a show.
3:30 in the morning.
So anything that you're alleging that you're saying that is not even is impossible.
And when did this allegedly happen?
The information that I have.
Can we get the information? Because we got somebody, our lawyers calling.
I got you. So I'll give you my business card, and you have to reach out to our vice president.
Reaching out to the vice president.
I understand
I'm just going
that public. You can have your security do that, but again, my decision. It's not me.
When did this allegedly happen?
What is though? When did this happen?
I will get you that information.
You don't even have.
You don't know that.
I love the third wheel in arguments on video.
I know.
Who's this other guy?
No. Stop.
That's his peeps.
I'm not accusing you of doing anything, man.
I'm not familiar with casinos giving you this much time when they throw you out. By the way.
So again, I wasn't there. I don't know. This is way bigger than me. Obviously, you're somebody. Can you stop recording me?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Go ahead, record me. That's fine.
Can we figure out
this property? I hereby warn you that you're trespassing on this property.
But listen though,
as defined by the Boundary Grass Section 207.200, if you're not leaving these premises immediately, you will be subject to arrest for a misdemeanor.
For what?
Your subsequent return to these premises after being duly warned.
Trespassing. You already told you.
Arrested for what?
Trespassing. You're not a good listener.
I'm kind of intrigued by the outcome because there's a lot of big talk about, oh, we're going to sue them, we're going to own the Cosmopolitan, blah, blah, blah. Now, I've always thought it was bullshit the way casinos just go, you're winning, get out of here,
oh, yeah.
You're gone.
Oh, yeah.
They do it all the time.
they can say you're cheating or whatever. They can say whatever they want.
They don't have to say anything. They can just, and I've never understood, how is it, wait, I spent you know, $10,000 learning this video poker game, and now that I'm winning my money back, you're throwing me out.
Yeah,
that's what people were doing. They were learning how to win at video poker. And so, you know, it's happening here at Greektown.
How do you win?
There's some pattern, apparently, that you can learn over time, and people start to win too much.
Well, card counters get kicked out.
Yeah, card counters get kicked out.
You J.D. Shellnut, chief of police, to kiss my ass.
Frankly, if you can count cards, you should be rewarded. I mean, that's pretty tough.
People win anyway and get kicked out. They're just winning too much.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is interesting. It's 3:30 in the morning, and they're not letting Meek Mill in. And I'm curious to see if it's different because it's Meek Mill. Because Meek Mill seems to have the world gold card now.
Yeah.
Got out of prison early, and
someone knew he was coming, probably, and they said, don't let that
guy
in.
Oh, no, they
don't even know who the hell you are.
As soon as he pulled up, they told him he wasn't coming.
I'm sure his entourage called ahead and said, hey, we're coming. Let us in.
Who the hell are you, anyway?
His lawyer's saying that there are a number of rappers that they don't want in any casinos.
That's their choice.
Well,
maybe they don't want their casino all shot up.
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated because they're black. And so, you know, if you're accused of discriminating against people, no. I'm forever intrigued by, that one. I forgot somebody was shot a couple weeks ago. I was like, man, how many rappers have been shot? It seems like every time I read about a rapper, they're being shot or they're shooting
someone. That's how you get your cred. You're not going to sell as much.
I remember when people started using that word, and I thought, boy, that's a joke. I mean, really, that's got to be. It's not a joke. People say that, and they're all, well, that's good for his street cred. Yeah, he shot somebody, and he's only going to prison for 2 years. He'll sell a million records. And they talk like it's a real thing. But what was I watching? The Wu-Tang Clan documentary last night.
Yeah, 4-part documentary.
And the thing they spent the most time on about Old Dirty Bastard and his crime history was when he was being, the police were trying to pull him over, and he was on the phone with his mom, and his mom said, drive to the police station, don't pull over. And so he didn't pull over. And they thought they saw a gun, which I guess was his phone, and they shot at the car.
Before you saw this, I was telling you about it. I said, his mom bought him a phone for Christmas. She said, wait a sec. How old is Old Dirty Bastard? I said, I don't know, at that time, 23 maybe?
Well, when he got
his
out of...
His mom bought him a phone for Christmas.
When he got out of jail, his mom had that big house, and he had nothing.
Yeah.
He said he had nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, after I saw that little story in the documentary, and then he dies. I've forgotten he died. So I'm reading about his death, and then I'm reading about him. I'm going, oh, my God, the crime blotter for him.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. I was thinking, how did this guy only do 3 years in prison? Isn't it amazing how you can shoot people and only go to prison for a short time?
Well, yeah. Depends who you shoot.
But depends who's doing the shooting, too.
But didn't you feel the time he did serve was probably the most ridiculous crime?
Well,
because he had a bulletproof vest on?
Yeah, you're not. If you're a felon, you're not allowed to wear a bulletproof vest.
In California,
and they pulled him over for speeding.
Why is that?
Well, because you're obviously up to no good if you're wearing a bulletproof vest.
Well, that's...
But he is famous, or was famous.
Right. I mean, he's protected himself. What do they care what you
wear? The press conference, so a grand jury couldn't even indict him on the whole police shooting when he was shot that time. And the press conference afterwards is hilarious, because he's like, I'm going to sue the whole city, this bullshit. And he's like, sorry, mama, because he swore.
Here's
a really good documentary.
You know, when he got out of prison, too, he's like, you know, he's they show him on the phone with his bandmate. He's trying to get out of his contract with Wu-Tang
RZA,
Clan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
his
and
cousin, RZA.
I got 8 kids to feed. And I'm like, 8 kids?
Yeah.
Anyway, in 1993, he was convicted of second-degree assault for an attempted robbery. In 1994, he was shot in the abdomen following an argument with another rapper. In 1997, he was arrested for failure to pay child support for 3 of his children. In 1998, he pleaded guilty to attempted assault on his wife and was the victim of a home invasion robbery at his girlfriend's house. He was shot in the back and arm, but the wounds were superficial. In July 1998, only days after being shot in a push-in robbery at his girlfriend's house, he was arrested for shoplifting a pair of $50 shoes from Sneaker Stadium store in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He was carrying $500 at the time.
Oh.
He was issued bench warrants by the Virginia Beach Sheriff's Department to stand trial if he failed to appear in court numerous times. He was arrested for criminal threatening after a series of confrontations in Los Angeles a few weeks later, and then rearrested for a similar charge not long after that. During a traffic stop, the details of which remain clouded in multiple versions of events, he was arrested for attempted murder and criminal weapon possession. The case was later dismissed. That's the one we were talking about.
Yeah.
In January 1999, shortly before the killing of Amadou Diallo, two officers in the street crimes unit fired 8 shots at Old Dirty Bastard and accused him of firing at them after they stopped his car. That's when they confused his cell phone with a gun and dropped the charges. But isn't that what they're talking about there?
Yes.
In February 99, he was arrested for driving without a license and for being a convicted felon wearing a bulletproof vest. At the time, it was illegal for felons to own body armor. Back in New York, weeks later, he was arrested for drug possession of crack cocaine and for traffic offenses. With multiple cases in the past and present, he was arrested with marijuana and 20 vials of crack.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
In October 2000, he escaped from his court-mandated drug treatment facility and spent 1 month as a fugitive. During this time, he met with RZA, spent some time in the recording studio. Yeah. He then appeared on stage at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York, drinking from a bottle at the record release party for the W.
That video was hilarious.
In late November, while still a fugitive, he was arrested outside of South Philadelphia McDonald's after he drew a crowd while signing autographs. He spent several days in a Philadelphia jail, was later extradited to New York. They sentenced him 2 to 4 years incarceration. He was released May of 2003.
Sounds like an upstanding citizen.
He did save a little girl's life. He picked up a car off of her.
Yeah, that was, what a story that is.
And she didn't want, I mean, the guy was mentally ill, if there wasn't any doubt. Not that any of that really matters to a lot of people.
His cause of death in 2003 was a drug overdose. Autopsy found a lethal mixture of cocaine and prescription drug tramadol. Overdose was ruled accidental.
Oh.
Anyway.
What a shame.
And I was talking about Meek Mill after that Vegas thing first came up because I read the longest story about him. Oh, my God, there's the longest story about the Lakers and Magic today. Anybody want to hear that story? Yeah.
A little bit of it.
I was reading, I'm going, I'm exhausted. Yeah. How much longer can this have? And it had so much more to go.
They're going after him. Making him look worse.
They made themselves look pretty bad. How about the story Rob Pelinka made up about Kobe and Heath Ledger? That seems to be the one everyone's pulling out.
I can't believe that because this guy is Kobe's agent, he suddenly has so much power in the world.
He was part of the Fab Five.
No, he wasn't in. He was not a Fab Five.
He was on the team. Yeah.
So anyway,
he got in on garbage time.
He claimed that he saw The Dark Knight and was so impressed with Heath Ledger that he asked Rob Pelinka to hook him up with Heath Ledger, and they had lunch to discuss his focus or something like that. Well, Heath Ledger died before the movie ever came out.
Yeah.
So he just, I don't really understand the story, but he told it to, you know, it was a big group that he told the story in front of. He was big stuffing. He sounds like he does a lot of big stuffing.
Pelinka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a storyteller.
He looks like Rob Lowe, though.
Bloop. I don't know if I'm going to go along with that.
Almost does.
Almost everyone on The Bachelor, either Maz or I, think they look like someone, including Joe Tessitore. There's a Joe Tessitore lookalike on The Bachelor.
Cam. Julius Peppers again starred this week.
Cam cries at the end of The Bachelor because he was trying to behave boldly.
That's a spoiler alert.
ABC, always be Cam.
Yeah.
That was his...
That was his lead in.
Yes, but always being Cam did not pay off in the end. He's no longer on The Bachelor.
Spoiler alert. Oh,
no. So, Gabar and the gang at Zot Fort and Holly have kicked off their famous Memorial Day celebration. This means some of the best deals of the year in full effect at Zot Fort and deals at Indeed.com. Maz has not made a lot of noise about the horrors of the first half of the month this month.
Very little whining.
I've held my own this first half.
Wow, how many?
Month. I got, what did I have out the first half? First half, I had seven out.
Why are you asking us?
I had the 7 out, and I'm up to 11, maybe 12 by tomorrow.
Oh, well.
Hey. Not bad. Gary did steal Nick from me, though.
Yeah, I saw, somebody wrote me and said I went to buy a car and Maz wasn't there.
Well, I don't know about that guy. No, there was a couple of guys that
he
were
bought
there.
A car?
Yeah.
He did.
Nick but, was a good
What day did he come
guy.
In?
No, I was there. I was with the other customer, so I had Gary wait on him.
Oh.
Gary,
I said it was Gary. I thought it was somebody else.
It was Austin, probably. There's a bunch of people that just go elsewhere.
Anyway,
in the dealership around my desk.
If you are active military, a veteran, police officer, or first responder, you save an additional $1,000 to $1,500 off Zotford's ridiculously low advertised price. So a 19 Ford F-150 Supercrew 4x4 is low as $144 a month. Lease a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT as low as $185 a month. Finally, lease a new 19 Mustang Coupe at $236 a month. That's the lowest in years. And don't forget, active military, veterans, police, first responders, save even more. Get details, surf the massive inventory, dealsinindeed.com.
That's good till Friday. So that extra $1,500 for military.
It's good for Friday.
Good till Friday.
Okay.
Last day of the month.
And Dr. Yaldo, sponsoring all of our shows. Hopefully you mentioned that. If you listen to more than one show, try to squeeze the other guys in when you do head over there to improve on your vision permanently. As Dr. Yaldo, Michigan's premier eye surgeon, does the Cat's Custom LASIK, which Trudy got and is very happy with. She got her designer sunglasses from the new eyewear department.
Ooh la la.
Eli, one of the many who've gotten the multifocal implants. Dr. Yell's done over 50,000 procedures. Eli, of course, from No Filter, which recorded today. How'd it go, Brandon?
It went well.
What topics du jour?
Well, obviously, with the passing of Bill Buckner and Bart Starr, it kind of led to a lot of great nostalgia stories, not only about them, but other guys in the past. And specifically with Bill Buckner, there's a really funny story about where Denny was and what he was doing and maybe what he was gambling on at the time. And you have to really think about it. Where was Denny McClain in 86?
Denny in prison in 86?
Yes.
He was.
It's a great story.
Was he gambling with John Gotti?
He was, well, I don't know
John Gotti
specifically
Jr., I think
here, but he it's not your not your common currency.
Did he ever face Buckner?
No.
Different leagues?
Well, he could have.
No, different leagues.
No, because Buckner was in the National League in 69. Buckner's one of the rare players to play in four decades, by the way. He played in 69, the 70s, 80s, and 1990.
Like Minnie Minosa?
Like Tim McCarver.
Oh, how many? McCarver, too.
McCarver played in 59, and he played in the 80s.
Doesn't Minosa hold the record?
He played in six decades, I think. But he pinch hit when he was like 60.
Oh, that's so did Gordie Howe played for the Vipers.
I know. He put
the
Gordie
same
Howe
day that
seven
Tyson
decades.
And Gulotta fought.
The right there at the Palace. I was at both.
There's an inside joke that goes back to sports radio.
Minnie Minosa, I believe, got a base hit when he was like 53, when he was
really?
Trying to play in that decade.
Minnie Minosa.
That was for Bill Veeck's White Sox. Bill Veeck did so many nutty
things. He was a genius.
He was.
Did you see the rumor that was shot down about the Tigers signing Bartolo Colon?
Yeah.
How exciting would that have been?
I was excited yesterday when I read that.
I was too when I saw
it. Is he on anyone's roster?
No, he's hanging out in the Dominican
Republic. I heard they signed him to a minor league deal. I was in the bathroom at the time. I ran out of the bathroom.
Pull your pants up?
I did. And washed. I couldn't wait to tell my buddy, hey, we're getting Bartolo Colon. That would have been the one thing I would have been excited for this whole freaking year.
I just would love to know how excited the person on the other end of that conversation would they have been even close to the level of excitedness that you were feeling about the Tigers signing Bartolo Cologne.
I don't know, but that would have been fun.
That would have been a blast.
He won seven games last year as a 45-year-old.
Yeah, and he hit a home run.
He's older than me, and he could still play in the major leagues. That's fantastic.
Oh, my God. He's funny.
They're so bad. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
They're so bad.
They're unwatchable.
I'm just so down on Chris Ilitra at this moment.
You know what's coming up, right?
You know, and also, why haven't they... I don't mean to go off...
The draft is coming up. That means they're going to trade...
Let me finish this commercial.
They're going to let, what's his name go? Your guy, Boyd.
I know they are.
That's my Boyd.
Be done with old technology. Get true precision from Dr. Yaldo. 2020 or better. In many cases, it'll change your world. Tell him Drew and Mike sent you to Dr. Yaldo. You'll get a free evaluation, preferred pricing, and easy financing if you need it. Call 1-800-398-EYES. In fact, somebody told me they got surgery from Dr. Yaldo. I think they got the LASIK. And they said they lost their job. About 2 weeks later, and he said, at first I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have spent that money. But he said he does not regret it. He's very happy he got it.
They pick our gym!
1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
We were talking Tigers.
Yeah, what was the, it's not a sports podcast, but where were we?
We were at Bartolo Colon, not signing, then how bad they are, and you went on from there. And you're mad at Chris
Illich. Why are they not calling up Mize? I mean, this is a terrible team.
We started at A-ball.
Going nowhere. He's in Double-A throwing no-hitters and one-hitters and shutouts. Isn't it time?
He hasn't gotten
the
Triple-A yet.
What harm?
I don't know.
He's 22 years old.
They could bring him up for a bit.
Verlander was 22 when he came up.
Is it just because, this is a waste. This team sucks, so why have him in the major leagues burning his arm out?
No, I don't think that's it.
No.
Is it? How could he be any worse than anyone on this team?
I think after the draft, you're allowed to bring him up for a while without wasting a year of his eligibility. That's what a lot of these teams do. Yeah. They don't bring these players up for a while so they can keep them, and pay them cheap.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we'll see. He hasn't hit Triple-A yet, so let's let him hit Triple-A.
I'm not worried about him in Triple-A, to be honest.
But Shane Green.
His numbers in Double-A are so dominant, it's ridiculous.
They're really good. It'd be good to go watch him. Even if you went to Toledo, it'd be good to go take a ride.
I don't think I mentioned, I think I'll pass on that, but I'll wait for it to come in.
You don't like seeing that stadium? It's fun.
No, I'm sure it is. I'll wait for him to get here.
Okay.
We're going to talk to Norman Pardo.
Mm-hmm. Don Pardo's cousin?
Yes, he is related to Don Pardo. He is doing the film on O.J. He's the one that claims that O.J. had sex with Chris Kardashian when she was married to Robert Kardashian and caused her injury. She was forced to go to the hospital. O.J. would not take her to the hospital. She apparently had to be stitched up. And
how did he cause the injury?
Jeffrey Felix yesterday going on and on and on. He did guard the juice about O.J.'s penis size. And he was completely...
Chris wasn't ready.
Murder my vagina.
If it ever happened, that it could cause injury.
Chris wasn't ready for him.
He said it did not happen. No, Chris was not ready, apparently.
I'm shocked at that.
Murder my vagina.
Why? Well, was she in the black guys then?
Well, her daughters are all ready. Oh, well, that's for sure.
Lindsay Vonn doesn't seem like white guys. I'm not knocking it. I mean, well, I don't care. But
she likes athletes, too.
Her new boyfriend's a black guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, P.K. Subban.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a goalie?
No, he's one of the best.
You said he was a goalie, man.
No, I changed my tune.
His brother's Malcolm's a goalie.
I changed my tune. No, he's played for the Canadians, and I think he wound up with the Nashville Predators.
Yes, he did.
Wait, so he's a hockey player, but not a goalie?
Not a goalie.
Okay.
I think is he a defenseman?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really not important.
I know. It's not a hockey
player. Well, it is because Tom was wrong.
I corrected myself right away, but Drew didn't hear me.
The Bachelor was on.
The Bruins are dominating right now still. They might.
One game.
I know. I like the Blues, but I just don't see it.
It's still not a sports podcast.
I understand. This is Stanley Cup.
Do you?
I do.
Do you understand?
No, I don't think you do.
I don't know if you do either.
The Hall Financial Hotline is winding its way open. Click the link to Hall Financial on our website. Fill out the online form, and they will get back to you fast. Amazingly fast. Or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. And I guess Norman Pardo. It's Norman Pardo time. Cool.
Storm and Norman.
Eddie Money to undergo heart surgery days after the DT concert where people said he looked just not good.
It wasn't feeling good, obviously.
Say he's going to go back on the road after the procedure.
Money Man.
Hello.
Is this Norman Pardo?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Norman. It's the Drew and Mike show.
Hey, Drew and Mike.
How are you?
Good. Is this Drew or Mike?
This is Drew. Mike is not with us anymore, but Mark is here. Maz is here.
Hey, Norman.
And Don is here.
So they got a lot of M's.
Yeah.
We do.
We sure do.
Now we have an N.
And Maz immediately asked if you were related to Don Pardo. That is not a name you hear a lot.
Oh, you don't. But I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yes, but I'm not.
You're not.
Oh.
Okay.
No, not an announcer.
I see. So how long have you been working on this movie on O.J. Simpson? We've talked to you for years.
Well, I had footage for years, and people had different ideas for years, but this is the actual real deal, and it just was started almost a year ago.
What footage do you have that is, I guess, is there footage of him saying he had sex with Chris Kardashian? That's what getting a lot of play, of course.
Well, that's just the beginning. This is the movie that is being made. Actually, I'm interviewed in it. That's what it's all about. It's actually a real interrogator.
It's about you. It's a documentary about Norman, not O.J.
Do what?
Is it a documentary about Norman Pardo or O.J.?
Neither one of us.
Who's the documentary about?
Who killed Nicole.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, then it's about O.J.
No, it's not about O.J.
Well, he killed Nicole.
OJ's actually minimal in it.
Who's the movie suggesting killed Nicole?
I can't tell the ending of their movie. That would not
spoiler
be
right. Alert, Drew.
We already know the ending of that movie.
It was juice. In the end, it ended up being O.J. That's crazy.
I know. Well, wait. It's going to be amazing, though. Really, what I'm really excited about is this the definitive story, and it's going to be amazing to watch you guys eat crow. I'm going to have so much fun watching people because I already had four people, you know, really high up people and executives from networks look at it. Uh-huh. And every one of them said it's the definitive story and they don't understand how they overlooked it.
Well, I don't understand how the four people overlooked the blood that led from the murder site to his home, up his stairs, into his bedroom, on his socks. His blood is everywhere. He's got his blood, Ron's blood, her blood,
you're absolutely
in his car.
Correct. You're absolutely correct. That is part of the deal. You're right.
So well, that's he good. Did
that's in the movie.
He left one glove at the murder site, one glove at
his house. That was Furman.
Okay.
Yeah, hey. It wasn't either one of them, to be honest.
Now,
the guy who actually put the glove there, we had a long conversation why.
Oh.
But next question.
What? Can you give us a hint?
Wait, whoa.
Give us some hints, Norm. Please.
Have you sent a screener to Darden and Marsha Clark? Chris Darden and Marsha Clark?
No, but I did talk with Mark Furman's people.
There you go.
Yeah. Did he use the N-word?
And I've had the Goldman's people. We've talked to them.
Yeah.
What does Mr. Goldman say?
I'm sure Goldman's pleased to hear from you.
No, he's not upset with me at all.
Really? Fred isn't?
No.
Is Fred, is Fred dropping the $32 million that OJ owes him because he was so impressed with who you said was the murderer?
No. You don't understand. The money he got was the only thing OJ has is he had to participate in some way for them to keep that money.
Well, no, he was responsible. He was responsible for the
death. Yeah, not responsible. That's all. It doesn't mean he had to have the knife in there slicing people up himself.
Okay, so I guess it's okay to be responsible for a murder.
Well, it's not okay to be any of it. That's why OJ and I aren't talking.
Is Fred forgiving OJ because of the movie?
No, Fred's still mad at OJ. OJ's still mad at Fred. Fred's mad at OJ. OJ mad at Fred. Wait. OJ mad at me. I'm mad at OJ. I mean, everybody's mad at everybody. Everything's
Juice
cool.
isn't mad at anyone.
I just want to review this for a second. Why is OJ Simpson mad at Fred Goldman, whose son was murdered along with
he took
Nicole
his Heisman
Brown Simpson?
Because he took it out on OJ.
He took his
Yeah.
Well, he murdered his son.
Well,
what's his Heisman?
But he didn't.
According to Norman.
There's a bunch of different stories that you're going to hear.
I can't wait.
Going to be definitive. I can't honestly. Wait till you do. To be honest, only reason I'm having issues right now is, and it's not me having issues, it's the thing in general. We are having issues with trying to be shut down totally.
By who?
What?
We've had everybody try to shut us down. Our office was actually raided by a SWAT team with automatic machine guns, and they took half our OJ stuff.
What? What do they take?
They think you're hiding evidence?
What? Yes.
Oh, the case,
because
are they
know
still?
I know more than most people, right. And everybody's been trying to stop me, and that's been a big issue for me for years.
But they can't try him again.
Yes, they can.
What?
Really? What can they try him for?
They can try him again. They can try him for conspiracy to commit murder, not doing the murder.
Oh, is that what they're trying to do when they raided?
I don't know. I don't want to tell everybody what they're trying to do, but I just know that I don't want to get no more trouble. Than what I've already gotten into.
Are you saying that he helped somebody do it? Maybe a relative?
Charlie.
Maybe Jason, the son?
Can't comment on the grounds of...
the grounds that you don't know.
What about the cross-country killer?
I did give you a few little hints there. You guys can just mull over that there is more to this than meets the eye, a lot more than meets the eye.
You got
to
tell us something.
Did you interview Glenn Rogers for the documentary?
This crime show that we did, it's just a show, but you know, it's just a real crime thing. They interviewed, I think it was, I don't know, 20 different people that were suspects.
Did,
was OJ one of them?
Yeah, he's one of the suspects too.
Is, if this is a conspiracy, is the other person in the world of Faye Resnick?
That's what
OJ said.
Yeah, someone in the world of Faye Resnick.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how many people's in our world, I guess.
All right. Well, the big story, the reason
how far reaching she was.
I like that.
OJ knows what happened.
The big story, and I'm a little hurt that the New York Post got to see this segment and you didn't share it with us. I mean, who's been a bigger supporter of Norman Pardo over the years than the Joe Mike Show?
Well, but the problem says they were good at getting information out of me.
Right.
Oh,
so they hammered me pretty hard.
Shot.
You guys almost got everything out of me. The last time I was there, you know, all you kept saying murder every time I'd say something, so you were never able to get anything out of me.
How about Pedro Guerrero? So, where's he in all this?
Yeah, did Pedro do it?
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out some of the other people that were somehow involved.
Did you ever meet Pedro Guerrero?
No.
Oh. Okay, but in this video, OJ, the quote is OJ.
Can I ask Norman just real quickly?
It's not really a video. It's actually a 90-minute feature documentary.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's not like any type of documentary you've ever seen. It's more like a combination Criminal Minds and standard documentary. It was done with, we got 4K cameras, a 35,000 square foot set. Well, I mean, they did this thing 100% right.
Well, plug it. It's called Who Killed Nicole?
What about Ron?
KillNicole.com is the website that you can go to watch the trailer.
Wait, is Ron a different murderer?
Is that episode two who killed Ron?
Were the two murdered in the same incident, or were those two separate incidences for Ron and
They moved the bodies together.
They moved the bodies around because they just, you know, they are people.
OJ went back there, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, OJ went back because he double got mad at everybody and decided to kill him again because they weren't dead enough.
Maybe Nicole's mother killed him because she thought he stole her glasses.
Maybe Keith did.
She was still trying to find that other lens that was missing. Did you know that one of her lenses in her glasses is missing?
One of the lenses? I think I heard that a long time ago, but...
Isn't that strange?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Well, I mean,
with that you find when
that
you
really OJ created, you could have a lens anywhere in there. Who would find it? That was a mess.
But when you really do an investigation, which is really a real serious one, you'll be amazed at what you can find. You know, we've gotten just off of this murder, we've got information now leading us where we can probably dig up at least 50 different bodies.
We'll do it.
Well, we're trying. We've got a bunch of them that we're working on.
There's 48 more people OJ killed?
No, but the people involved, it all seems to be connected.
Is he a serial killer?
Everybody in the world of Faye Resnick.
Casanova, the cross-country killer?
No, Brandon.
That's the irony of the whole thing. The serial killer. No, it wasn't just a serial killer. What happened was the serial killer got connected to me, and we talked a lot, but then other serial killers got involved. And then people with other serial killers got involved. So we just know where bodies are. They really have nothing to do with this. They're just buried out there. The people say on the corner of this street and this street, I buried this lady. Just thought you'd want to know.
Norman.
And so I ended up in an underground world I really didn't want to go into.
Are you going to pass that along to the LAPD that there's 48 other bodies buried and where they are?
I'm trying to do that, but it's not just LA. There's four of them that's buried, let's say, behind a bus station. But it's not in L.A. It's in a different town. I've got one lady on the corner in Georgia. I mean, there's just a bunch of different people.
What's it take to get police interested in 48 buried bodies that have been murdered?
Especially
when it looks like it's easy to solve.
That's crazy.
Here's the problem I'm finding out when you do this type of thing. Most of the people involved are what they call informants. So when they kill somebody, let's just say hypothetically an informant kills somebody. You can't open their files because informants' files are sealed to find out what they did. So the only way that you can really prosecute or even look for the body is if you can open the file, which you can't do because they're informants. Did you know in the trial, O.J. Simpson's trial, Ron Goldman's files are all sealed because he's an informant?
Ron Goldman?
I didn't know, a lot of people don't know. Yes.
What was he informing about? Do we know?
There you go. Think about it for a minute. And you can't open up O.J.'s files. They're sealed.
Is he informing on the lost and found at Mezzaluna?
All the files from the O.J. trial are sealed because they're all informants.
Okay.
Which makes you wonder, what were they doing?
Well, in the documentary, you're an informant as you recount a story where you say O.J. stood up, pulled his shorts down, and said, I'll give you exactly.
Yeah, they were just asking me a story about what, you know, some of the things that OJ had asked me, and that's one of the things because it pertained to something.
Okay, well, finish.
I'm not going to tell you what it pertained to something, but it does pertain to the movie.
And he said that her eyes bugged out, her being Chris Kardashian.
Yeah.
And I F that B until I broke her.
Yeah, it was sort of messed up, but yeah.
Now, what did you say back to him when he told you that story? We were like, no way.
I just ignored him because he talks about shit like that all the time. It was nothing new. I mean, that's just the way he talked.
How many other women did he break besides Nicole?
I really don't know, but I didn't really want to know about that one. But it pertained to something because it was, you understand, Robert Kardashian was, you know, with him at the time, and not at the murders, but, you know, got his license.
He just hit the luggage with the knife and all that or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's what, so part of that had to come into the trial or into the movie to find out, did he do the luggage? So the investigators had to research all that.
Did you look into the hospital records when Chris Kardashian was taken to the hospital afterwards?
No, I wasn't. Oh, wow. I wasn't the investigator. Plus, I can't remember where it was at exactly. I just told him what he said he did.
Is it true she got...
I think it was Mexico, but I can't really remember.
Were there 70, over 70 stitches, as people allege?
I don't know how many stitches. I would think a lot more than that, probably.
Okay. All right, that's what I thought.
Did you ever see the tool that did the damage? Did you ever see OJ's dong?
Oh, I saw it, but, yeah. you know
how
that
close?
Was...
I mean, how big was it?
I don't know, a foot and a half, foot, something like that.
Foot and a half,
I
mean, knock it off, Pardo.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm serious. I mean, he was sitting on a chair, and it was just hanging off the side.
It was
there.
18 inches. Well, we better call Jonah Falcon and let him know.
Oh, I didn't have the exact measurements. I didn't get that tape measure out and say, holy shit. I mean, you know, I didn't go into that. I mean, Jeffrey, I was like, wow, that's messed up, you know, because, you know, a regular, you know, Joe like me, you know, I'm like, shit, you know, that's not something you want to see. It's there's hard to get that out of your head.
There's no, oh, my. Hard
to get. Foot and a half.
Jeffrey Felix, Jeffrey Felix, who was guarding the juice, said the same thing. Yeah. He said it was, he couldn't get it out of his head. He could not stop talking about it.
Called it a garden hose.
Yeah, basically, that's what the problem said. So that's why, you know, he has some issues with that. So, you know, and it ain't just him. Everybody seems to know about it.
Hmm. Daddy Juice.
He told you this story on a limo ride in 2003 from Raleigh, North Carolina to Atlanta, which seems like a long way for a limo ride. But
I got into a mess with him with the limos because, we always seem to lose our planes.
What?
Oh, because that nobody wants to fly the juice around?
No, we just literally lost the plane the night we did. We left the nightclub at around 2 in the morning, and OJ, of course, had to be hungry. And he said, I want something to eat, and the driver of the car was on crack, so he got us really lost, and we didn't find the hotel room we stayed in. We actually, and OJ got mad. He's like, for the first time in my life, I'm so lost, I don't know what state I'm in.
That sounds like something the Jewish would say.
Was that when he and Chris?
So literally, we were so lost, we didn't know. And then, you know, that's when I found out about the McDonald's. I didn't know because, you know, he was supposed to take Cato to McDonald's.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It was only in the trial.
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't know that he's never been to McDonald's.
Why was a crackhead driving a limo? I'm so confused by that part of the story.
Oh, that's just, I don't know. I didn't know either. We yelled at him, and we stopped at a couple spots, and we had to have him go up and ask the people, where the hell were we? Cause
were you scared OJ was going to murder him?
No, I was more afraid that we were just going to get killed out there in the middle of nowhere because we were in, like, North Carolina or South Carolina or somewhere. And there was actually, we saw a robbery. We didn't even know it was a robbery. It was cute, too, because we pulled up to this parking lot and just stopped because OJ said, stop the car. I'm tired of this riding around.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right?
Is that what he said when he got out of the car? Is that actual audio?
No, we just sat there, and then this Walmart truck pulled up in front of us, and some people got out with guns and took all the stuff out of the back. And OJ, being so innocent, he just looked at me and said, I didn't know Walmart delivered at night.
And I'm give me like, my knife.
Walmart delivery?
Wait, did they take the murdering suit that wound up in Las Vegas?
Murdering suit.
How about those shoes?
I don't know what they got out of that back of that truck, but I told the driver, get us out of there. I mean, we're lost, and then we got a robbery, and I was like, there's a lot of problems going on. And here OJ was all hungry all the time. I'm just hungry. Give me some food. And so finally, he saw McDonald's. He said, fuck what I said about, you know, I can't really, I think it's, that might beat me out. Yeah.
What is
about
it with,
what I said about McDonald's, stop and get me a bean burrito.
What's up with him
and
McDonald's?
What's up with him and eating? About McDonald's.
OJ, I mean, he's literally like an hour and a half from murdering two people, and he wants to go to McDonald's, and he takes Cato and the Bentley. It's like, I got to eat before I kill two people. I need some energy.
I need some killing energy.
Catch a plane.
And here he is, never been to McDonald's. And I'm sitting there going, okay, you just ordered a bean burrito. He's like, well, what does McDonald's spell? I'm like, well, you supposedly go to McDonald's all the time with Cato. He's never been to a McDonald's. He's like, I don't know. I never eat a McDonald's.
I don't know, but I'd like to put him on a lie detector again about that one.
Yeah, man, what's going on? Can I help you?
I think it was pretty well established he went to McDonald's in 94 with Cato, just 2 hours before
he
stabbed.
But he didn't really order anything for himself. If he would have known, if he would have gone to McDonald's, think about it. He took Cato to McDonald's.
Yeah.
When he doesn't go to McDonald's himself, why would you take Cato to McDonald's? And then he gets, when we go to McDonald's, he orders a bean burrito, and then the guy in the back gets an argument with him. He said, they don't serve that. And he's like, well, what does McDonald's sell? I've never been there.
Oh, come on.
I've got that on tape.
No one has never been to McDonald's. That's ridiculous.
OJ has never been to Walmart. We pulled up in front of a Walmart.
Oh, Walmart,
and he
looked
at it, I believe. Yeah,
I believe
he looked at the Walmart.
Had a good hunting section.
He looked at the Walmart and said, I've heard of these places, but I've never been in one.
He's worried about his knife.
They
got good murdering knives here.
Oh, Norman.
Here's the trick, Norman. You don't call them murdering knives.
I mean, there's some things in life that he was isolated from.
Well, he's the juice. When is the movie out, Norman? When can I see this movie?
June 12th is what we're planning on going out. I ain't figured out exactly how we're doing it yet because everybody's trying to stop me.
How long is it going to be?
It's a 25-year anniversary.
Norman.
Yes.
It's the 25th anniversary of the murders.
Yes.
You don't think that's a little insensitive?
No, we're solving the murder 25 years later.
On the exact date, or it doesn't count?
I'm trying to get the exact date. I'm like, hey, the date they were murdered, this is what really happened. We solved it. It's over.
Okay,
hey,
where can I see the movie? Where can I go to see it?
We don't know yet. We're hoping on just online, but we had a couple networks, but everybody's afraid to touch us now.
What about Netflix or Hulu?
Afraid. No, they're afraid. They everybody's
weren't
afraid.
They weren't afraid.
OJ will kill them.
They weren't afraid to do the "If I Did It" thing on Fox.
Yeah,
that's right. You don't understand how much I've got in here. That's just explosive.
And we'll get Judith Regan to sell it.
They want to look at it before they put it on their network, and as soon as they get halfway through, they say, "We can't touch this." They run.
What can they have besides him? I mean, unless they had the video of him.
We have a lot. There's a lot of stuff inside our movie about other people, et cetera.
How long is it going to be?
One of those 90 minutes. One of those being you claim that Nicole was dating Dodi Fayed, Princess Diana's.
No, she wasn't dating him, but she was out with him.
Oh, so she just banged him?
He had a lot of money.
We didn't say she was just out with him. They were all out at one place. We have a lot of witnesses that was with them the night before that's in our movie that actually told us stories that nobody else knows about.
How long did it take you to put this together?
25
years. Well, I've been accumulating this stuff for 20 years, and I wasn't going to do it. I just quit. And then this team of guys came to me, and they said, well, we want the story. I'm like, I know the story, and I'm good with it just knowing myself.
Well, what I warned
the people producing, and I'm like, I don't think you guys understand. You're going to produce a movie that's going to get you hurt.
Ooh.
And that's the part I warned them, and they didn't believe me. Now they're going, man, we're getting backlash from everybody. I'm like, you're going to.
I really haven't heard much about that, but maybe you can get. Can you get put in witness protection possibly? Before
nobody's going to stop. Well, I don't think there's no turning off what's there. At least one thing I'm positive about, and I'm happy. My story's done. I already said all my shit and everything done. I gave them 2 terabytes of information. They've done it. It's all finished, and there's a couple copies already out there. So no matter what happens,
why didn't we get one?
I ain't got to talk no more.
Norman, will you let us know when this is out and where we can see it, and we will absolutely watch it the first time it runs. How's that?
I appreciate that. You're gonna be excited. I think it's gonna be exciting. You're gonna enjoy it.
Can you put it on our network?
Yeah, we can put it on our network. Yeah. Of course we can.
Getting ready to eat some crow.
Did you see our trailer?
No. We'll watch. Thing. You know what we'll do? We'll get off the phone. The first thing we'll do is watch the trailer. We have the trailer, don't we?
It's at whokillednicole.com. Just go there. The trailer's there, and you can share it.
Okay. We will. We absolutely will, Norman.
It's a cool trailer.
Thank you very much.
Norman.
Thanks for the time.
You guys take care.
Once again.
If you need anything, give me a yell.
All right. Norman Pardo, thank you.
Norm.
Keep us posted.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All righty.
I am 100% guilty.
Okay. I'm confused.
God bless, Norman.
Than ever. But let's see the trailer. This has got to be crazy.
I can't believe somebody wouldn't distribute this.
It's going to get him killed.
What a nice guy. Say, I am. You suck this, baby.
Over 100 million people tuned in to watch the Not Guilty Verdict.
Most everybody else who's ever been involved in this O.J. Simpson saga is either dead or in prison.
It was coined the trial really? Of
Alan
the
Park?
Century.
Marsha Clark? Mark Furman?
Don't want these drug people in these
hanging
around my kids.
People still want to know.
But I was unfaithful to both my wife.
Too bad he couldn't get Don Pardo to voice this.
Is there still something that you did? A long time ago, it always comes back.
Startling revelations provide new evidence, exclusive footage.
I murdered the mother of the children.
They're coming to get you now.
Norman Pardo started managing OJ almost 20 years ago, his right-hand man, confidant, and keeper of his darkest secrets.
Lover. Once I tell everybody everything I know, it'll be over.
I guarantee you, Norm, when we get in this conversation about this, you're going to hear the word supposed to. So everybody at the party took it as a secret. Boy, what a party that was. Other than that, I ain't done an illegal drug since last night.
What? The untold story of what really happened.
Where are those chicks dancing?
Why?
Information my client could provide in regards to solicitation to commit murder of Nicole Brown Simpson.
I'm saying when the prosecution has an expert that testifies that said the blood...
Uh-oh. Don't argue with Norman.
100 million.
Said that Robert Kardashian had a whole other plan. Because it was getting rid of one thing.
An informant provides information in exchange for remaining anonymous.
You had Nicole Brown Simpson, Mr. Doty
Fayette. Possibly the longest trailer ever.
The two guys, the henchmen,
are we sure this is the movie?
Right there and then, we're being taken
hostage.
The movie's
90 minutes.
We could have been killed.
So is this trailer.
Nicole saved our lives.
And she, I said, I gotta talk to you.
Nickel plated, 12-gauge shotgun prone. He goes, yeah. What?
Is that AC? And I never guess, but I gotta play it safe.
All I care about is everything. Have you ever seen a shoe store like this?
I want to see it just for the little videos of OJ.
That's what I was just gonna say. Norman should just release all the video he has of the juice. Motive behind America's
most infamous crime. It's not something OJ Simpson wants me to say. It's not something the Goldmans want me to say. It's not something the police want me to say.
What about the Browns?
But I'm going to say it. So here's the deal. This is what happened.
No one is innocent.
Especially OJ.
We're here now. That camera should be out.
Wow.
I would rather have a circle jerk with my dad and grandpa than see this flaming turd of a movie.
It looks to me like he ran a lot of tape on OJ when OJ didn't know he was running tape.
Yeah. Oh, I think he knew, though, in a lot of them.
Opening line.
A nice guy. Say, I am. You suck this, baby.
Oh, we need that drop pronto.
Oh, juice. Such a nice guy. I will be so disappointed. Oh, my God. Oh.
That's the least you get out of it, is that drop? That was just a good interview.
Oh, I'll watch footage of OJ home videos all day long.
Yeah. No, he's fascinating. I mean, I just hope Pedro Guerrero comes up at some point. Christy Brody's got to be all over this thing. His girlfriend after the murders.
They would have known each. Norman would have known her.
Yeah, he said 2003. He was with that Christy Brody till like 20.
What a mess she was.
Before till he went to prison, I think. Yeah, she's a total mess.
Been doing drugs for 2 days with Pedro Guerrero.
We should look Christy Brody up. Who's we talked to her mom.
Yeah, who he's with now.
Juice.
Yeah, the juice.
I think he's just pounding different chicks.
Probably.
Yeah, people are back in love with OJ. People are digging him, Maz. You're in style again.
He should be. Yeah. His number's back in vogue. 32 is back with the Bills.
Who's wearing 32? Some new guy. Yeah,
murderer. Some free agent.
I want to mention our studio sponsors and friends at Zott Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsNadie.com. They're smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event. They're excited for you to be part of it. During the Zott Jeep celebration event, lease a 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month, or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about 0% financing on all new 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? Wow, 0% financing, good. As you can see, Zott Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. So strap on your asbestos undies and take advantage of these deals right now. I don't have any asbestos undies. Does that mean I can't get a Ram truck?
I think you still could.
Okay.
They'll make an exception.
And Hall Financial, our network sponsor, they're all over the place. They're on ML Soul Detroit. They're on No Filter, who have a new show that is it's out now, isn't it, Brandon?
It is available everywhere.
Sweet. And they're sponsoring No BS News. Charlie's back from Poland. I think Dave Bing is on his show.
Oh, wow.
This week. Yeah, I think Dave Bing is going to be sitting in this basement.
NBA Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He should have signed the wall.
Traded for Archie Clark.
Really?
Yeah, wasn't he? And Val Clark was married to Archie Clark.
Oh, wow.
Channel 7 Val Clark? Yeah. Pretty girl.
Archie Clark, wasn't he a Bullet?
Yes. Dave Bing was traded to the Bullets.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Dave Bing.
Yeah, you did. You said so.
I did not know that.
He led the NBA in scoring, Dave Bing. 1 year, I think, with the Pistons, didn't he?
Hall of Famer, man.
David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. You've heard it from our listeners. You've heard it from everybody. They have over 600 five-star reviews because they always put you first. If it's a refi, if it's your dream home, your first home, you want to take money out of your home, you want to shorten the length of your loan, Hall Financial would love to work with you. If you've got a little bruise to your credit, they've helped a lot of our people through some tough situations that other people didn't want to deal with. Or they got a better rate because they shop around. All the sellers are impressed, too. So go to Hall FG or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Call 248-308-5000 or go to the Drew and Mike Show website. Click the link, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you fast. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467-4354, Hall Financial.
There are two numbers listed for Christy Brody.
Yeah, she was getting over a meth habit last I knew.
2 years ago.
When why don't we dial her up?
Side edition last.
You think percentage.
You think she kept the bill up? You think she paid paid her cell phone bill?
Christy Brody?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, her parents did.
Okay. What do you mean, her cell
phone? Well, if you're going to call her, you think still going to belong
Well,
to
I don't know. She was having problems. Last I read up on her, she was...
she's on the phone.
She's having a hard time.
She's talking to Norman Pardo.
Wait, how can you have a busy signal?
What do you mean?
It was on the phone.
Wouldn't she have voice or call waiting?
Mm, she can't afford it.
She can't? Oh, man. Well, she can't afford caller ID either. So that's good.
Both
her numbers are busy?
Well, maybe she's talking to the person on the other line. Because one is a cell phone and one is a home number.
Maybe she's talking to herself.
One is in Minnesota, where she's from. The other is in Florida, where, you know, she was with the Juice.
Every picture of her, it looks like OJ beat her repeatedly with his penis.
Yeah.
In the face.
Yeah. Let me see.
I mean, she really looks rough.
Like black rings around her.
Oh, wow. Look at her eyes.
She was hot. And I remember she got big breast implants, too, and OJ was pulling her shirt up, going, look at these things I bought. Hoo-hoo-ha-ha.
And these are mine.
We are doing ecstasy, and I'm showing off the boobs I bought.
I just want to talk to her.
I pay for everything around here. Right?
I want to ask her if she's got a car.
Hey, there she is on some show. Oh, she's on GMA. When's that from?
Probably
September 16, 2009.
Yeah, well, Inside Edition.
She broke her silence, and I missed it.
Inside Edition found her 2 years ago, and she was fighting her meth addiction.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Brandon, can you dig this up? I think we need to see her on GMA. This is an exclusive 10 years late.
This
is so old that it's an exclusive.
It's new again?
No one is playing it now. It's so long forgotten.
It is the 10-year anniversary of it.
Yeah, it is. You're right, man.
Trying to appeal his armed robbery conviction was turned down. News that came as a great relief to Christy Prody, the woman who shared her life with Simpson after he was acquitted of the murders of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and Ron Goldman. We're going to hear from Christy in a moment, but first, our Andrew Canning tells us her story.
That's school teacher-esque.
She stood by O.J. for 13 years, but now Christy Prody says she feared for her life. Prody claims O.J. subjected her to constant physical and emotional abuse and even threatened to kill her, something he denies.
It was
a relationship few could understand.
That doesn't sound like something O.J. would do.
Beginnings.
No.
Prody says she first met O.J. in 1995 outside his Brentwood estate. Like thousands of others, she had gone to the popular tourist attraction, curious about the murders of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. O.J. approached her, and the Minnesota-born cocktail waitress, 30 years his junior, quickly fell in love. They later moved to Florida together, but the romance turned rocky. Prody says O.J. constantly compared her to Nicole
hear from her?
And convinced her to get breast
ahead.
Implants to look more...
She's in
interested in the story.
Look who her attorney
when
is.
When we first met O.J. Simpson, he had
just
been acquitted for the murders of his wife and Ron Goldman. A lot
Found
of people
innocent.
Would ask, why did you get involved with him in the first place?
Very young, very naive.
Huge dong.
Confused.
Did your family or friends, were they saying, hey, what are you thinking here?
Yes, all of them.
You said that he...
Maybe the guy that murdered two people and beats women.
To look like Nicole, his previous wife. What were some things that he asked you to do?
Titties.
Oh, just the way I would dress, the way I'd wear my hair.
She's got to point out the titties.
No blowing Keith.
Minor things.
It's a great interview.
Yeah, but fascinating.
It's always back.
It's almost as good as Lamar.
So glad I called this up.
Knowing him as you do, Christy.
Oh, it was nice. It was the anniversary.
Do you believe...
Thanks, man.
...that he...
Oh, slow down, Robin.
I think she's on downers.
Yes, I do now. It took me many years.
Slow down.
Oh, my God. This is the slowest interview ever.
Face that hard.
Dr. Phil must have a hard on over this interview because it's so slow.
Now I do. Absolutely.
And why now do you?
Things he's mentioned about Nicole.
What about the blood trail from the murder site to his house? Did that influence you at all?
She followed
her lifestyle.
Yeah, that's how she met him, Drew.
It's like Hansel and Gretel.
Slow down.
Yeah, breadcrumbs.
Mainly Ron Goldman, I guess.
You did try to leave him.
Oh, absolutely.
You ain't going anywhere.
Several times.
What happened when you tried to do that?
He would find me. I couldn't leave. I didn't have anywhere to go.
She wasn't good at hiding.
OJ's attorney.
I tried to leave with Pedro Guerrero once.
Inconsistent.
Didn't work out too well.
For 2 days.
Is saying, Keith? And those close to Simpson talk
I'm
about
a white girl.
Drug use. Is
going to rehab.
True?
Yes, I was in treatment. I checked myself into treatment after.
Didn't do much good.
It's called a rehab, not treatment.
You're going into a rehab.
Being depressed.
Who says a rehab?
Dealing with my depression.
This is riveting.
So slow.
Gloria, you're going into speed a
it
rehab. Up a
little. Why are you here today? What is it that you want to get across?
Well, Christie's message is that.
Slow.
Thank you for speaking for her.
It's even slowing her
can
down.
Be very, very dangerous to
Gloria
one's health.
Stepped up.
Here, I'm changing
he
the speed.
He had the power.
Are they holding hands because they're lovers?
Brandon changed it to 2x speed.
And he manipulated
to make
her.
It sound normal.
And her life was literally in danger. So what some women think is love
talk again.
Can actually lead to a life and death situation. Christy, fortunately, got out with her life. Nicole was not so fortunate.
Yeah, but Nicole didn't have the advantage of knowing he'd murdered two people, so let's not act like they're on equal
Christy,
ground here.
Exactly. Worried
speed her up.
That if OJ gets out of jail, are you still fearful? Are you still fearing for your life with him because of him?
I was. Now I realize I don't think he's getting out. At least I hope not.
Christy, tell us about your life now.
My life now is absolutely great. I'm in love with a wonderful
Looks
man.
Great.
And we have a beautiful baby daughter. And things could be better.
At double speed, it's not bad.
Perfect.
I know how difficult it was for you to speak out. And Gloria, thank you for being here with her, with us.
Thanks for barely saying shit.
Appreciate it greatly.
Stupid.
It will help.
Robin should have asked them if they're holding hands because they're a couple. Because they're holding hands through the whole interview.
They make a great couple.
They would.
GMA had another terrible interview this morning.
With
Lamar Odom.
Oh, yeah, let's watch that.
It's on the TV there, Brad. Okay. It's so he's the
Is
worst.
Is the View better?
He's alive still?
I can't find him on The View except for the one clip where he's dumping all over the now deceased Dennis Hoff, saying that he was drugged.
You talk about Dennis.
That's not
I
fair.
Agree, Tom.
I want to defend Dennis. I think we should call the
guy.
Bunny. We should call the Bunny Ranch and tell them that we have their back.
I still have his number on my phone. I will not delete it.
Can we add that to the have the back list? The Bunny Ranch as a whole.
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, I think we should, because he's not there.
Great words. And that, everybody, is
well, it must be a great show, judging from the applause.
We're going to turn now to our GMA cover story, an exclusive interview with former basketball star Lamar Odom. He's now opening up about his near-death
experience. Maybe that's why he's so slow.
Recovery from addiction, his relationship with Khloe Kardashian, and why he is now telling it all in his new memoir, Darkness to Light. ABC's Gigi Chang sat down with him. Hey, Gigi.
Good morning, Cecilia. Good morning, guys. You know, he seemed to be on top of the world. The splashy NBA career, massive endorsements, and a hit reality show. Remember Khloe and Lamar of the Juggernaut Kardashian clan? Before Lamar Odom nearly died of that drug overdose at a Las Vegas brothel, his life was a string of tragedies. Lamar sat down with us for a wide-ranging interview, revealing for the first time
how is he on top
raw
of the world
and intimate details.
If he had a string of tragedies.
He was on top of the world.
No, it's really a story of triumph and overcoming obstacles.
Over a lot of tragedy.
And tragedy, overcoming tragedy as well.
At 39 years old, Lamar Odom's life has already been filled with the highest of highs.
It was a triumph.
And the lowest of lows.
Is he conscious? No.
A roller coaster, which he says began at age 12 when his single mother died of cancer.
You're looking to fill that void, you know, with things. And, you know, some things I was trying to fill that void
with. Mostly pushing drugs.
Your first time with cocaine was laced with sex. What was that like to be introduced to that toxic brew?
For me, that's exactly what it was. It's toxic. A demon. I was professionally hiding it. Khloe didn't know for a long time.
Khloe and Lamar wed in 2009 after a whirlwind one-month romance.
Tell me what it was like being on camera.
How does any Kardashian wear white?
Kardashians, paparazzi everywhere.
That's I loved it.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, a red carpet is rolled out for you everywhere you go. What's not to love about that?
Why?
And at that time, when we shot our show,
Khloe and Lamar.
Yeah, I was playing really good basketball.
You were at the pinnacle of your career. And yet you were hiding your drug use and your sex addiction from Chloe.
Yeah. Well, you're married. You don't want your wife to know that you're sniffing coke and
banging other chicks.
Having sex with other women.
Secrets that were getting harder to hide. In the book, Lamar recalls one drug-induced rage, hallucinating and paranoid. He says to Chloe, I'll expletive kill you. You don't know what I'm capable of.
I'm pretty sure she had to be scared.
Oh, you think?
At that point in time. I'm thinking about it now, like, I couldn't believe how I was treating that queen like that.
Have you apologized to her?
I don't think I have.
Do you feel like you owe her an apology?
Yeah, her and her family. An apology.
Are you gonna do it then?
Big time.
She at that point kicked you to the curb.
Yeah, but she's like took care of me. I had everything I ever wanted and needed. So it was like a kid being kicked out of his house.
It was like a 12-year-old losing his mother to cancer.
Again.
Lamar says he went to the Love Ranch, a Las Vegas brothel, to escape the fear of losing it all.
I was just thinking about trying to go have fun.
You weren't thinking.
I wasn't thinking. Being selfish.
I think he was thinking.
After a four-day bender, he was found unresponsive.
What, he just ended up there?
12 seizures,
I mean, why did he end
strokes.
There? End up there?
His heart stopped
twice.
Like staying
there 4 days, too. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot of doubts.
I wasn't thinking. I was just, the next thing you know, I'm in a brothel for 4 days.
A miracle.
By all rights, you took lethal doses of whatever substance it was. You don't have any memory of taking drugs.
Well, I didn't.
But you also don't have much of a memory of any of it.
Six strokes.
When was the last time you did cocaine?
Oof, I can't even remember.
Oh, I think you could.
I can't even remember. It's been
a week.
A long time.
So you're not high now?
No, did I sniff cocaine before this interview? No.
Because you've told stories in the past. How do I know you're telling the truth now?
Ooh, get him, Juju.
Well, all that you can do is believe me, and if you don't...
Do a drug test right now.
Lamar completed a month-long stint in rehab in 2016.
Not a rehab.
These days, he says he will have an occasional drink.
And, like, I smoke
that's a good idea.
To this day, though, just to help with some anxiety.
You do smoke weed still?
Yeah. Anxiety.
Helps cool me down.
When was the last time you smoked weed?
Yesterday.
What a stupid question.
Yesterday. But everybody's path.
Oh, shit. You know, he took it right
you know,
before.
In rehab and after rehab is going to be different to find sobriety. So what's going to be good for you might not be work for me.
One of the last things that you say in the
book is, I told you it was a boring interview.
I am Lamar Joseph Odom and I am alive. That's how you end it.
Ooh.
What does being alive,
do you think he's even read this book,
really mean to you?
Being conscious, being present.
Ghost wrote it. What does being alive mean to you? What kind of a question is that?
Being vulnerable. Being victorious.
What are you winning?
So ludicrous. So here he is on The View shitting all over Dennis, if you want to hear that.
Well, The View, he's taping The View like probably 2 hours after he said that he was just wasted at the Money Ranch, and then 2 hours later he's saying he was poisoned by Dennis Hoff.
I don't know.
Why didn't he mention that?
Dennis Hoff, the owner of the brothel. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know what he had against me or.
Against you, you were his best
yeah,
customer.
He always kills good customers.
Yeah, people that have been there for 4 days.
Yeah, I can't. But my lawyer has work is at the brothel that said right. He tried. He almost succeeded though.
We weren't able to verify it at ABC News, but in your book, you say you don't remember taking drugs or anything.
I didn't. I've been at odds with my daughter. Right.
Reputable source
like,
too.
Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to clear my name.
Well, begun that process. The process of clearing your name starts when you straighten up.
Yeah. Clear his name for what?
I don't get it. I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't think Lamar even knows.
Oh boy. Well, the book does have some interesting stories. First of all, he paid someone $15,000 to change his grades in high school, and the guy took the money and he got F's.
Oh,
the guy didn't change his grades.
That's great.
Lucky Lori Loughlin didn't follow that guy.
Then someone was paid to take his SATs. But his scores were too high, just like the Virginia Tech guy this year.
Uh-huh.
So Nevada, Las Vegas revoked his scholarship. But, it looks like this stuff goes on all the time. People squirreling grades and having people take tests for them and cheating and whatever. It's just, it just seems like he was a good player.
Yeah, he was.
But he's not one of the biggest recruits ever. I mean, imagine what they do for these other guys. Then
they're going to start not going to college soon.
Yeah, I hope they do.
It's
going to
happen.
I thought he was a big recruit. He wasn't a big recruit?
He was a big recruit, but yeah. I mean, he's not Zion Williamson.
No, but I thought Lamar was talk about him just going pro, like he was that good. But then again, back then, almost everybody went pro out of high school.
His trainer helped him fake a urine test.
Oh, yeah.
He
just
ordered
like
a
the
giant
Vikings.
Rubber black cock.
The Wizinator.
Filled it with the trainer's urine, I guess. He had a 40-chick orgy with the Miami Heat his rookie year.
Nice.
Says he's had
is that
sex
too many?
40? That's a lot. He had a big house, so they were all over the house. Then he slept with 2,000 women in the course of his career. He says he's paid for plenty of abortions.
How many did Wilt have?
20,000.
That's okay. Such a lie.
Then he had a fling with Taraji P. Henson.
Really?
Is she that hot?
She looks good in Empire. They make her look good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then with Chloe, he said he was doing drugs the whole time, and he was screwing around on her, and Chloe started tracking his credit card, and she tracked him to the Roosevelt Hotel, where he's in a room with two strippers and a pile of drugs.
Oh.
And at midnight, pounding on the door were Chloe,
Eesh.
Chris,
Yikes.
And their security team.
Oh, God.
Now, why would...
Why is Chris there?
Why would she call her... Mom!
Well, it's also her manager.
You're going to bust your husband for doing...
What's more ludicrous, calling your mom or your manager?
They're both ludicrous, and bringing a security team is ludicrous,
yeah.
too.
What
the hell is that? And then Chloe comes in, beats the shit out of one of the strippers.
Yeah, but not Lamar.
You come home now, Lamar.
It's not Lamar's fault. It's the stripper's fault.
Chris was screaming.
Of course.
And the security people took all the drugs and got rid of them. So they cleaned up the scene. And then he said the last thing he really said about them was after he was in the hospital with the 6 strokes, that his family and the Kardashians got into it because the Kardashians wanted them to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Oh, wow. How stupid.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm just amazed this garbage gone. Okay, see, I don't remember anything about Khloe beating up a stripper in Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
No, funny? Of course not.
She complains about her life isn't her own and all these people are talking. And yet she's on TV. Would have you believe that her whole life is on TV, but then she doesn't tell you.
That would have been a highly rated
episode. Whatever she wants you to know.
That would have been a great episode.
I saw a trailer or a video like this season on the Kardashians, and it's the whole Jordan. Remember that Jordan Woods chick?
Yeah.
And there's a clip of Khloe where she goes, "This is just a TV show. It's my life." And I started laughing because the TV show is your life, honey. It is your life. You don't have a life. That is you. You are what you are on TV now.
They're just laughing all the way to the bank. I don't know who these people are that follow their every move.
They drive me nuts, but there's something kind of admirable about it.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm kind of blown away by the whole thing.
All because of Ray J.
They're good looking. If they weren't good looking girls, there would be no show. No one would care. They'd have no money, no clothing line, no makeup line, no nothing.
They have a great manager.
They happen to have great tits, great asses, and
awesome
faces,
manager.
And
it all comes back to the juice.
I don't think Chris Kardashian could manage 3 average-looking girls to this kind of money.
Nope.
Would never happen. But that's what we live in now. It's the era of the dumb millionaire, and probably the dumb billionaire, too, because if you're hot, you can have 1 million followers, and then you're an influencer. No matter how big an imbecile you are, you can have a child at 15, and you're an influencer because you're on Teen Mom. I mean, it's true. It really is. I mean, look at how many idiots are extremely wealthy.
Well, we like to watch idiots. I mean, idiots are kind of fun.
Yeah, but usually
to watch.
We just watched them. They weren't laughing their way to the bank.
Yeah.
Or they got 15 minutes. Now they get 15
that's what
years.
I mean. Kind of what's amazing about it.
What do you think the biggest idiot millionaire is? What's her name? Bregoli? Would you put
Daniel
her up there?
Bregoli? Yes, I would.
You got to put her up
she'd
there.
She'd be very high in the
list. Gotta be high.
She's not a millionaire, is she?
God, yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yes,
she got a makeup deal for, what was it? It was a lot of money.
She's a millionaire.
Absolutely, she's a millionaire. She sells out every show.
Jake Paul.
Those are the YouTube
guys.
He's
a multi-millionaire. He's got a giant mansion. Both of them do. Yeah, they just had a slap fight that went viral.
So stupid.
Oh, God. Well, I think all the rappers. I'm going to put all the rappers together.
Oh, they're all, they're not my favorite people.
I'm putting them in there.
They seem to succeed.
It's got to be Britney Spears after learning what we know about
her. Yeah, she's about as dumb as anybody.
She's not a millionaire anymore. She has no money.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Britney Spears, she's loaded.
That's her parents' money.
Right.
Yeah. Well, her parents, her father did a pretty good job for her. That's the funny thing is that my father is holding me hostage. Free Britney. I mean, imagine how dumb. Can you believe? And not to mention, the fans are dumber than ever too. Free Britney. She's 37.
I don't know
years
though.
Old.
I'm kind of on the Free Britney page because I want to see what happens.
I would too. I would like to see her freed. It would be fun to see her out there again,
just for a few months. Give her some spending money and see what kind of crazy shit she gets into. Maybe she'll shave her head. Attack a paparazzi with an umbrella like the good old days. Mm. Those were the best.
It was exciting.
Bring her back.
It was a good-looking girl, though.
Still is.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So,
Drew, I got to show you the hero of the day today. This guy on an airplane is going to Minnesota, and this girl said that he was acting really weird and put his butt in the air, and so she was kind of aware of who he was, and he was putting the tray down and putting it up. So she got out her camera when she saw him pull something out of his pocket. Go ahead and play on there. And I love that she starts the shot on herself. There's the guy.
Lighting a cigarette
on an airplane. Now, watch this narc sitting next to him who's just watching him.
Yeah, he's just comfortably smoking away on the airplane.
Eyes closed. He looks completely bummed.
The seat partner just got the whiff.
I admire
this guy is not having it. He wants the steward immediately.
He's falling asleep, the smoker.
Yeah, I was thinking he dropped his cigarette.
Oh,
probably.
There, guy just rang the bell. Meanwhile, this girl's a genius. She's just filming it. Here comes the steward or the flight attendant. I'm sorry. Look at that narc just points at him.
And he dropped his cigarette.
Said, "Oh my God, yeah." I don't think he knew that he lit up.
No, I don't think he knew at all. No, he's too wasted.
Wasted. Nobody cares that he's completely wasted, but the minute he lights up a cigarette, the whole place is up for grabs.
Great point. Plus, it's spirit. I mean, he probably figured it's okay on spirit.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that guy. Hey, man's Santa Anita just killed their 26th horse of the year.
All right, way to go! Great sport.
What is going on with that sport?
I couldn't tell you, man. Santa Anita has just been a horror show for horse racing this year.
Did you see the real sports on killing horses?
I've seen a couple of different ones. Was that a redo?
That's an answer.
I still have it if you want to bring it up.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
Oh, great.
I bet you it was a redo from a few years ago, and then they put a guy in front of it and just redid it.
Oh, yeah, 26 more horses. That's how many horses are murdered that Tom doesn't even know how many times they do stories on it.
You know, and by the way, you remember when I asked you, I said, when a horse gets injured, you have to kill it?
Uh-huh.
And you said yes.
Yeah.
And that's not true.
It is
horses,
true.
No, horses can get better.
Oh.
They just don't want, once they can't win races, they don't want to feed them and care for them.
No.
They're not an animal. Wrong. They're an investment.
You're completely wrong.
You got to watch real sports.
Real sports isn't going to tell me what I already know.
What do you know?
Wait, why do you know more than real sports?
They should have asked me. I know.
Okay, if a horse is injured,
they can't stand on all four legs. They have to be euthanized.
What about three?
Well, no, what if they can recover, win a race?
Of course. They wanted Barbaro to recover. He couldn't recover. So it took months and months.
Well, yeah, but when you're running them at full speed, at high speed, and they're trying to win these races.
Well, listen, after the race is over and they can save them, they would save them if they can.
Real, that's not what real sports says. Real sports says they don't want to pay for food and training.
Sports are a bunch of liars.
They don't want to pay for the medical. They just want
to
kill them.
Well, I'd love to see it. Is it this month?
And they want their semen first before they kill them.
Is it this month?
We bring it up here?
Yeah, it's a brand new one.
Brand new. So after the Detroit thing.
You may have to modify your position.
I'm not going to modify.
And they're off.
Earlier this year at California's famed Santa Anita racetrack, one horse
Bernie
after another
Bernie's
broke down and had to be put down.
This is fine.
Poor horse. That horse is okay.
Great.
You got to go without the rider.
In just
it's
a
so
few
much
short
faster.
Months, 23 horses were dead, just like that. And the fallout was fast and furious.
Animals have no choice.
The deaths quickly becoming a national story.
Wouldn't they stand a better chance to not get injured and not have to be shot to death if they didn't race?
Yes, that is correct.
So then... Okay.
That is correct. You got me on that one.
Another horse has died at California's famed Santa Anita racetrack. It's the 23rd horse to die at the park
since this aired.
Amid cries for answers from an outraged public, multiple investigations were opened into why so many horses were dead, including one investigation by the L.A. district attorney. But this much is known. What happened to those horses at Santa Anita is just the tip of an iceberg the public knows virtually nothing about.
Santa Anita, since
late December, more than 20 deaths. How unusual is that?
It's not unusual at all.
Oh, cool. Yeah, really? Totally cool.
They have averaged at Santa Anita 50 dead racehorses a year going back to 2007.
Great. How many deaths under the a year at Santa Anita?
50. 50 dead racehorses.
Or they still have half a year to
go. We don't hear about that.
No one has covered it.
No, they're
Patrick Betuelo, who lives not far from the historic Saratoga racetrack upstate New York.
Gorgeous. I highly recommend
Once he was nice a fan of horse racing until he horses. Says he started to notice a pattern. Pit there? A tidbit of news about a death at one track, then at another. And another. And then the one-time fan became an activist. Now, Betuelo, a former restaurant owner, runs a website that logs racehorse deaths at tracks all across the country.
Wow.
And if you think 23 deaths at Santa Anita is a lot, listen to the numbers he's uncovered.
Easily over 2,000 horses are killed racing or training on U.S. tracks every year.
Oh, my God. Man, that's a huge number.
I would venture to say that people watching us right now would be shocked by that number.
They should be sickened by that number.
You should be.
Betuelo says that the spate of deaths this spring at Santa Anita is just business as usual at tracks all over the country, like the Charlestown racetrack in West Virginia, where 44 horses died last year.
We had a spill at the top of the stretch.
Turf Paradise in Arizona lost 45 horses
Beautiful
last
track.
Year.
And going down was Coolidge. Coolidge fell.
And at Gulfstream Park in Miami, 55 horses went down. Betuelo chronicles each death and gets the paperwork to prove it.
These are all confirmed deaths. Names, dates, locations. Wow. Irrefutable evidence
young they are.
Of the deadliness of the American horse racing industry.
Betuelo says he collects all of this information for one simple reason. No one else does. Not the industry itself. And not the government agencies that are supposed to be overseeing which is why he often gets letters.
It's quite enjoyable, though, watching a jockey just go flying off a horse and roll.
Ugh. It's like this. Here's one from South Dakota.
I can never look
regarding
at the
information
that
on horses that were euthanized. The South Dakota Commission does not maintain the records you requested.
See?
They don't maintain records of
what's
how many horses die on their tracks.
Nobody can count that high, Drew.
I get that from a couple other states also, Arkansas being one. They do not have any information on the deaths at Oaklawn, which is one of the, you know, the top-tier tracks in the country.
Betuelo's records include more than just the names of the dead. He also collects autopsy reports, which illustrate each horse's final moments
gunshot.
In disturbing detail. Horse caught reins in rail and snapped neck.
Ooh. Sorry, you died.
Digger Jigger. This horse was involved in a collision.
Oh, this sucks.
Found dead in her stall the next morning.
Oh.
Quiet Title, another horse. Sudden cardiac arrest. Horse fell and broke neck.
What if he mentions hoof hearted?
Blood coming from ears. Look, I can go on, but
from
this is not easy.
Gastrointestinal disorder.
For America is, do these lives matter at all? And if they do,
horses' lives
then
matter.
We can't
no, gambling
abide
matters.
This any longer.
They're often racing.
The other question, of course, is why horse racing in America is so remarkably deadly.
Bye.
Insiders say there's one big reason: a culture of
soon.
Rampant
Another
drug
one.
Use.
Oh,
Kate Papp
cool.
is a veterinarian who treats horses at Penn National Racetrack outside Philadelphia. She says that for a year she's watched with anger as trainers pump injured horses full of drugs so they can run through the pain.
Oh, cool.
They are
Great.
Meant to feel no pain.
Just like
they
athletes.
They run and
yeah,
they break
horses.
Their legs because they
don't
feel
run
them.
Race.
They can't
and
not take
the drugs.
They're
trying as hard as they can because that's what horses do. They try for
I'm
us.
Not
and when they break
guys.
Down, it's catastrophic.
Humans give them to
Pap first told us about the industry's drug problem back in 2014. She told us about an injured horse called Prima Zip that she'd been asked to take care of.
We took some x-rays and found stress fractures of the one hind leg.
So you thought Primazip needed rest?
I was sure Primazip needed rest.
But Primazip's trainers didn't want him resting. They wanted him racing. Horse racing, after all, is more than a sport. It's a business.
See?
And in the business, Pap told us, it's not hard to find an unethical vet who will drug up a horse
right
to get it out on the track
right there.
And make a few bucks in
the process. Bet on that horse.
One injection
takes
2 seconds.
We always say that at the track. When a horse goes back for equipment repair,
and if you multiply that times 10 in 1 day, that's $300 for 5 minutes worth of work.
Even if the vet thinks that horse should be shot up with
drugs. Why would they take
the
horse all the way back for equipment repair? Couldn't they take a piece of equipment and repair it?
No, they got to repair on the horse.
I know.
Primazip was sent back to the races, reportedly on 2 painkillers.
I think Primazip hated his name, too.
With a lead toward the inside, it's Primazip.
But minutes later, he was dead.
Primazip pulled up there. Primazip pulling up before the quarter pole.
Primazip's weakened leg finally shattered, and he had to be put down.
I got 2 more.
For Pap, euthanizing damaged racehorses was an unfortunate but not uncommon part of the job. In fact, right after our interview, Pap headed over to Penn National, to an area racing fans never see called the pit. As her assistant videotaped, Pap injected a fatal dose into another broken-down racehorse.
Look at that poor horse.
5 years later, Pap says that not much has changed.
Where's Meg?
She says she was recently asked to treat a horse that she says had been drugged so he can race on an injured leg.
Wow.
I saw a horse that is hopping around on 3 legs.
Well, we kind of do that with a gymnast. Remember that gymnast in the Nasser documentary had the broken leg, but Nasser kept telling her she was fine.
Carrie Strug had to be carried.
Something in your demeanor.
We didn't shoot Carrie Strug.
Yes, we spent a lot of time together, okay? So, and finding him like that, I don't think I've ever seen something so horrible.
She's crying, Maz.
What do you say about...
Think she's ever seen that horse video?
A trainer or an owner or... Who lets a horse reach that point?
Fuck that guy.
Yeah!
I hate them. I can't stand it.
The
they
horse
should
video?
Not be allowed. They're not horsemen. They're
Amy.
Not
well, she acted like they had a close relationship. I know.
Eventually, Pap and her team determined the horse could not be saved. Aww. One of 38 that were euthanized from Penn National last year.
Twice again?
But experts say it doesn't have to be this way.
The United States is just about the only place on the planet where so many racehorses suffer catastrophic injuries, break down, and are euthanized, killed. It doesn't happen in such devastating numbers here in France or the rest of Europe or the rest of the
horse
world.
Horse racing communities do
where racehorses are safer than they are in America.
I guess they don't shoot them up with injections.
In fact, industry insiders say racing in America is at least 5 times deadlier than places like this.
You've had how many horses in almost 20 years die under your care?
None.
Zero.
Thoroughbred trainer Gina Rarick is an American, but says she'd never work in the American horse racing industry. Instead, she works in and around Paris at tracks like the famed Chantilly Racecourse, where here and across the rest of the
racing world,
they take a much different approach to the sport.
A big bopper
the biggest single factor that separates the United States from France and Europe is what?
Is medication. That's the biggest difference between American racing
and racing elsewhere. It's not the kind of gun used to put them down.
While some trainers in America drug their horses with just about everything under the sun, from legal drugs that mask injuries to illegal drugs like morphine, steroids, even Viagra.
What?
For the horse video.
Here in France, they have a simple rule.
On race day, there can be no drug in the horse's system. None.
Seems like
French
an okay
racing
rule.
Authorities aggressively test for drugs after every race. On this day, Rarick has 2 horses running at Chantilly.
Horses have to be drug tested? Jesus.
Afterwards, they don't know what's going on.
How stupid is that?
Stall where his urine and blood are drawn. The
He's
samples
have blood
then
drawn.
Brought to
just
this
wants to be a horse.
Lab, where they are secured and eventually tested for every drug imaginable.
Gross.
Did you ever have a horse fail a drug test?
Nope.
It's too late because people have already cast their tickets
license.
Anyway.
If you get caught with any kind of anabolic steroid, you lose your
license.
Well, they've never been disqualified.
It's finished for you.
Well, the idea is about not killing horses, not the betting part.
Understood.
Back at her stable, Rarick told us that some of her horses are actually smaller than American racehorses. That's because American horses are often pumped with steroids from birth to add muscle,
nice,
so they'll sell for more at auction.
Is that a bad thing?
It's a horrible thing. This is what happens is you get an absolutely beautiful-looking horse that's too heavy for the skeleton that's holding it up. And it stresses the bone structure when you have too much weight on a skeleton.
That's how horses break down.
That is how horses break down.
Mean sport.
So why do every other country's horses race in relative safety while the American racing industry has a culture of drugs and injury and too often death?
And sex
we
on
the
video.
The organization that registers all thoroughbreds in America.
No, I don't.
It's a woman with a horse.
125-year-old jockey club. No. The club told us
that?
It desperately wants change in the sport.
I've not seen it.
But that's easier
see it again.
Said than
I'd
done.
I'd rather see that than this.
Has the jockey club ever said to the people who are the movers and shakers of the industry, this has got to stop?
We have said that repeatedly.
Stuart Janney is the head of the jockey club.
I think that guy drinks a bit.
He's so red his face is. Federal legislation that would, for the first time,
what's
create
his problem?
Uniform
I don't think
that's
the sun. What's this guy's problem, though?
But says that some powerful track owners and state racing commissions have blocked it.
And that's just because they want to hold on to power?
I would think so. They want to keep the power they've got, even though they've done a terrible job.
What about the trainers who want to use drugs and don't want
the
federal government sticking their nose into
what
they do
with
the horses?
Well, those would be the people that need to be... found
is rather
red.
You don't like that, Tom?
You
love
this sport.
You want American bastards? If you don't like America, why don't you get out?
They may shut us down.
I've said it repeatedly. They're putting the very survival of the sport at risk.
It's so bad.
But even the horses that don't die because of racing far too often end up dying an even more gruesome death.
Oh, here we go.
Once their careers are over.
This sucks.
They're sent to slaughterhouses.
If that horse can't make the money, they don't want it. They don't want to feed it. They don't want to take care of it. They just want it gone.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Because a horse that can't win races and can't make money
is worthless to them.
We met assistant thoroughbred trainer Becky Kerr back in 2008. She had recently left her job at Mountaineer Park in West Virginia. She says what she saw there drove her out of the industry for good. Each week at Mountaineer, the stables were visited by a man looking to buy horses on the cheap, the man with that dark trailer and an ominous name.
Why do people at Mountaineer Track call him the meat man?
Because most of the horses he buys will end up as meat.
And when you first learned that some of these racehorses, whose only offense was that they weren't winning races, were being taken out and were going to be slaughtered at some point. What was your reaction?
Seems like the horses get kind of used in this whole deal, doesn't it?
Then I cried.
You see the horse being loaded
savory
on.
And delicious.
Sometimes they'd make you go get it out of the stall and hand it to him.
What was that like?
It was like handing a horse to the Grim Reaper.
Mass is deflecting.
How about the cows and the chickens?
To see
we don't bet on cows and chicken races.
Mass is the Grim Reaper.
That's a good point. We don't like cockfighting either as a society because of the way they're handled.
Oh, look at him, the horse.
No
look
day
this.
Off.
Look at this. This sucks.
Her crime? She no longer ran fast enough to win.
That looks
What's
delicious.
What's wrong with her exactly? Does she have an illness or she just doesn't run well anymore? She doesn't run too good.
See, no day off was taken here
salivating.
To a weekly
he's so hungry
livestock
to eat that
auction
horse.
In Ohio.
He probably says the line, I'm so hungry I can eat a horse all the time.
Behind her, more racehorses from Mountaineer that were no longer making money. One by one, they were sold.
He's going to make a primo dump later on.
Then packed into a truck and shipped off to slaughter to countries like Canada and Mexico, since
stupid
slaughtering
countries.
Horses is illegal here in the United States.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh.
The process began with a bolt to the brain.
Oh,
designed to knock the horses out.
Yikes.
Sometimes it worked.
Oh, great, yeah.
Sometimes it didn't.
What's that guy get paid an hour?
Either way, it got worse from there.
Oh, great.
Then they're stringing it up by the legs. They're going to hang it up from the ceiling, and they're going to bleed it out.
I will say this, though. Why is that so different than a slaughterhouse?
Off, yeah.
Why is that so different than a slaughterhouse with cows?
Are you still a fan, Maz?
I'm a fan of horse racing, Drew. Yeah.
You're not backing out, you're not backing down at all?
No, I'll never back down from that. Do I like what's going on? Of course not. I love animals.
Not well, when they, giving it.
When they don't win, they basically kill them. Yeah,
I understand that. But how about all the other animals they eat?
It's not about eating. It's just about using the horses.
Why can't the horse just be a horse? Like, yeah. Some kid can ride it.
I want that. That would be number one in my heart.
And Layla could be with
the horse. They adopt horses, too.
But that would mean no horse racing.
They adopt horsing. They adopt
horses.
You
like the horse?
It seems that they're very disposable to the people that run the industry.
Well, the bad people.
Well,
but they seem to be running
every track.
There's always bad people.
How come other countries can have those no drug rules and test them, but not here?
Well, we should have that.
Yeah, our horses are bigger because they give them so many roids.
Because they make for cooler races. Because they're bigger.
Also, the better the horse is, the more care he gets. I get that. The better I know they get cared
for. Yeah, but if they're like twice the size that their skeleton can handle, that's kind of a...
It's not a good thing.
I don't know. It seems like... Well, do you only go to tracks where they're really nice to the horses?
Exactly. That's the ones I go to. Those are the ones I go to.
Okay.
Hey, look, when I was a kid and Ruffian ran against Foolish Pleasure, do you remember that back in the early 70s?
Yeah, here's a clip from it.
Oh, good. It was a match race. Foolish Pleasure against Ruffian.
The one that didn't get shot won?
The best filly against the best male, against the best colt.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that match race? It was a huge match race.
I don't really remember. I remember Foolish Pleasure, the name. But
right. And Ruffian broke her leg in the stretch.
Oh, and they shot it?
No, they tried to save her. And the next day they had to...
Did you send a card?
I cried like a baby. I mean, I still can't get over it. They made a movie about it.
You're not crying right now.
They made a movie about
Ruffian. You saw them killing horses and bleeding them out, and you weren't crying.
Of course I'm crying. I'm crying on the inside.
Were you crying on the inside when that horse died?
Of course.
Were you crying on the outside?
Yes.
Really? Yes. So you cried on the outside, but you didn't cry on the outside. I cried for many horses. This.
Eight Bells died on the track in a great Philly race.
But you seem to love horses so much that you cry about them. You don't mind that we're putting steroids in them.
Well, they're showing, the bad part of horse racing. Yeah. There's a bad part of everything.
And then you jumped on Bob Page's tweet about...
I said what I said.
He's not a true New Yorker.
Well, any New Yorker. All New Yorkers love horse racing.
What a stereotype.
Very fine. Well, he turned out to be a New York transplant.
I guess he's from here.
I would like to think that people that love horse racing love horses and don't hate them. But
they
seems like people that love horse racing almost have to hate horses.
Of course not true. Come on now.
But you see what they're doing to them?
I don't know, because I love dogs, but if I were to have a dog and it was no longer cute, I wouldn't just shoot it.
Yeah, I understand.
You know?
That's a good question.
Thank you for that. Do they do
drug testing with like those greyhound races? And
they don't race greyhounds anymore. It's illegal.
Oh, interesting.
It's illegal.
They evolved.
I know what happened on greyhound tracks. They did the same thing to the dogs that you're looking at at the horses.
Oh, but they stopped because care about animals.
They put a stop on it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
When's the final leg of the Triple Crown?
Cannot wait for the Belmont this Saturday. I want War of Will to win so we can win two out of the three.
You want to hear a quick Maz Day boner line?
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, God.
Hey, Drew, Mark, Brandon, Ty Trudy, and Maz, whoever else.
I was wondering if Maz is going to be pushed back a day like trash pickup because of the holiday.
No.
I just want to chime in on Maz. I think one day a week is perfect. No more, no less on Maz Day. But I have a great idea for his show name. It should be called Shit.
Shit, yeah.
For two reasons. One, it should be appropriate for the content.
Bullshit.
And two, you don't have to change Walter's intro. Because at the end there, he says, Charlie the Duff's no bullshit news ain't shit. So
actually, no
filter
news and shit.
Yeah, shit.
Damn it.
Hey, guys, if you are silly enough to launch a podcast with Maz and Righteous Rick, it really should be called The Beggar and the Tool.
You butt out.
Tom Mazway, where to even begin? He's a liar.
Mother effer.
He does not even listen to the podcast.
Next.
The question is for Maz regarding horse racing, because I've been around a lot of three-legged dogs. Why can't horses? I don't get it. Does it wait?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Instantly assassinate him. Can you answer that?
It's so good. So damn good.
I was thinking about the Righteous Rick and Maz show. Maybe you guys should do a pilot and see how that works out.
Yeah.
That's a Tom Sack winner.
Just a quick
it's
one.
Not a bad
idea. Thanks for all the advice, guys. Appreciate it. All the compliments.
All right.
It's great.
What, were you not happy with that?
Oh, no, it's good, man.
That was good?
It's all good.
Okay.
Got a couple other videos too. If we should probably check out one of them. One of which is the local weathermen that are getting all pissed off.
Oh yeah, I absolutely am dying to. The one that the Portland Denver game.
Yeah.
The weatherman is like, listen, we have to do this. And of course, they really have to do it for a half an hour straight.
It was split screen.
They had split screen. I know, but you're watching a game and like you don't care.
Oh, no, I don't
think.
Like OJ with
Houston,
the final.
Like Houston and the Knicks. The Bronco chase.
But it shouldn't be a half hour. I mean, just say, hey, go on the internet. There's a tornado coming.
They did every 10 minutes. It's funny, though, hearing the people that called in and complained. They play a couple of voicemails. This is great.
What a shock.
We want to take a moment today and talk to you about severe weather. This weekend during Game 7 of the NBA semifinals here on ABC 13, we had a tornado warning in our area. Now, it's our commitment to you that when we do have a tornado warning, that we go on the air and stay on until it is over and you are safe. This weekend, per our severe weather policy, we broke into programming with the tornado warning and allowed you to continue watching Game 7 on a split screen. But apparently, that upset some of you.
And I'd just like to say, I thank you for absolutely ruining Game 7 of Denver versus Portland, because you have to show a tornado warning for over a half an hour.
We get it. This tornado has been on the TV for over 20 minutes. And I'm trying to watch the last 3 minutes.
Fans.
Not
I know.
BS split screen.
They don't give a damn.
You guys are terrible at your job.
Tonight, we are not going to apologize for what we did.
Ooh.
If you're watching us from Bedford, for example, you're just as important to us as someone watching us from Danville or Lynchburg. Whenever there is a tornado warning, lives are at risk. This is Franklin County in April after an EF3 tornado tore through. And this is in Elon and Campbell County after last year's EF3-rated tornado.
This is weather
Thankfully,
porn.
No
showing.
Lives were lost. And that's why when we go on
Mother
TV
Nature.
And stay on over-programming and commercials, you never know when someone new is tuning in looking for critical information
so do it every 10 minutes,
to protect
Dick.
Themselves and their families.
So it gets better because last night there was the Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of
it's the douche load.
The storm will come, it will go.
A lot of people were very, very upset because they did tornado warnings over the Bachelorette.
It's heavy Get out of rain its way. Is between you and the tornado. That's why this is a dangerous situation tonight. It's dark. It's also rainy. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice rain. Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop. Okay, just stop right now. It's
sounds
not.
Like it is.
I'm
you don't
I'm
want people that
you people.
Aren't
I
in
really
your area
am.
To
pathetic.
Watch The Bachelor?
It's
they have no right to be upset?
Here. All right, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, but it's not affecting
just,
some people,
it
idiot.
It really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here. That's
care
just ridiculous.
About the douche Lorette.
New tornado warning here. Oh, that's the same one we had.
All right, so yeah.
Don't play games with it.
Weathermen are getting very angry. They don't want the pushback.
The storm will come, it will go.
And then there's this one too.
Oh, yeah, the new Gillette commercial, which I told you before the show. You have not seen it. I said, I really think Gillette is just trolling people now. Because the first one was the whole toxic masculinity ad, which got a huge response.
And it was so dumb.
It was very
absolutely
dumb. But
stupid.
Everybody remembers Gillette.
Well, I don't know. Do they really?
Well, maybe not in the best light, but it's...
Well, and Gillette, by the way, not exactly the poster child for all of these things they supposedly care about.
What, because they're a company? Of course not. It's
by
a
the way, I love the story company. About Nike suspending women's contracts when they get pregnant. Nike, who cares so much, and we're going to have a Colin Kaepernick jersey because he's so important, and yet when women get
contract.
Pregnant, they just stop paying
Is that
him.
A fact?
Well, yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it's a fact.
I know that.
But they promoted him because he was still under contract because they didn't want to fire him because of how that would look back then.
No, they just want to sell stuff is what they want to do.
Just like
they're
Gillette.
They're not great people. They just... Whatever so, moves the needle.
Here's Gillette's new commercial.
I can't wait.
Featuring this
Growing
guy.
Up, I was always trying to figure out what kind of man I wanted to become, and I'm still trying to figure out what kind of man that I want to become. I always knew I was different. I didn't know that there was a term for the type of person that I was. I went into my transition just wanting to be happy. I'm glad I'm at the point where
this
I'm able to
This is about razors?
South, yeah. South,
Victor
North,
Kayam
North,
thinking.
East... West.
It's the first time he gets to shave, Drew.
Oh, how beautiful.
Right.
Warm. Now, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Shaving is about being confident.
It's about shaving.
You do shave.
Is that his real dad?
Yeah.
I'm at the point in my manhood where I'm actually happy. It's not just myself transitioning, it's everybody around me transitioning.
And Gillette.
What's he transitioning into?
Whenever, wherever.
Being a man?
However it happens.
Your well, he was doing a full transition.
Your first shave is special. Was your guys' first shave special?
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember. Hate shaving. Always did.
It's whatever. The worst. Nobody. Yeah, no one likes doing it. No one remembers their first shave.
I had like three pubes on my face. And all right,
did anybody teach you how to shave either?
I don't remember.
My dad did.
I don't know. I had a single mom, so no.
Just did it.
Good. I hope Gillette sells a million razors because they've appealed to something going on in the world. What's so obvious to me is that everyone's trying to appeal to younger males, and they think that they care more about other people than about themselves. Yeah. And so they're trying to use these wedge issues, just like Trump does, to move people to their product. Mm-hmm. And I don't. Maybe it works, but I. What bothers me is I know it's someone in an agency just cooking it up. They're not. They're not. They don't really care. Yeah,
they're a product.
They deliver now too, like Men's Shave Club. They Gillette is in that business now. They will ship you your razors.
Yeah, no choice. Yeah.
Everyone has to.
So you know, last night watching The Bachelor, there's this one scene where this guy's talking about going to visit Hannah B. and she was sick, and they start talking about. It's just, it's like, wait, these are really guys talking about this? Maybe I can find it because it's so sappy. And again, I'm really confused about what kind of a man I'm supposed to be because I'm watching these guys and they care so much. And then there's the Keith Raniers, you know, the Scientologists who seem to get groups of women to give them oral sex all at one time. And I'm like, wow, that looks interesting too. Like, how do you get people to do that?
I would really like to learn how to do that.
But these guys, I'm wondering, is this really what women want? Is guys that care, they care so much, they never stop caring, and they never stop talking about ways to make everyone feel good. But they don't really say anything. Let me find out when that part was. You're on the bench. Okay.
Yeah.
Look on page D for Douche Lorette.
Douche Lorette, there it is. I think it's at, let's see.
Was it Luke? Who was
it? Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't Luke.
No.
I can't believe it's 2 hours.
Oh, 39 minutes in when Hannah's sick. This is just.
Is she okay?
This is mind-boggling.
She had to break her date.
And the guy that went took care of her. He took her chicken soup and flowers. It was really nice. Uh-huh. And then he left Post-its all over the room so she would find little notes about, you know, how much he cared about her. And
cute.
That, you know, if they were together, that, you know, he would have to care for her when she was sick and she'd have to care for him when she was sick. And I thought, the women I know, it seems like they would want to puke.
Hasn't there been an evolution of, like, The Bachelor raising the bar from every guy I know has to top the next thing?
Whoa.
Do guys really do
They've
this?
Been sappy on the
How
show, you mean?
Yeah.
They've been pretty sappy for a while, but they're getting sappier.
I don't remember Alex Michael doing any of this.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Come.
Yeah, I know, definitely.
We're going to hang out.
Who's the hit and run bachelor?
I think she's faking,
that's
too.
That's all I can do.
You seem that sick to me.
She still makes out with him, even though she's sick.
No, definitely. Got this card for you. Don't have to read it now, but.
Do you want me to get
a nice vocal
for a card for someone who's sick?
Maybe later.
Why is he so?
Well, I want to read it.
All right, you can read it now.
She has
don't kiss her. She's sick.
No, she has a cold, by the way. Does she deserve a card?
Cold?
She's cold.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So see, she has a hospital bracelet.
And I just, like, basically
they gave her
out.
Liquid. Oh, really? They gave her, what do you call it, fluids.
She went to the hospital for a cold?
Yeah.
It's not like she had a sore throat or anything.
They got to keep her going for the show.
Oh, okay.
Shut up.
And went to the hospital. And
if she'd been at home, she'd have blown her first child's first year of college.
My throat closed up, for Christ's sake.
No.
Just too bad that Abby lost a year of college.
That's too fucking bad.
You can still spend time together now.
I just don't want to be one of these couples. I would feel sick.
No couple like
don't feel good.
I hate the kissing sound.
I love that drop. Okay, now here the guy's talking about. This is what I couldn't take.
This isn't a cancer.
Making a nice breakfast.
I'm telling you, it shows a lot about you and how you can care for her during one of her tough moments, you know?
Cuddling's like the best
one of the best things to do, you know, and you can still be romantic, so.
I'm interested to see how long.
For anybody that didn't understand it, he just said cuddling is one of the best things you can do.
This is a guy talking to three other guys.
While they're all making breakfast together, huh?
Hey, this is so weird. Listen to how these guys talk.
Okay.
It's going to take, like, will she spend 4 or 5 hours or just 1 hour, you know?
That bacon sounds good.
It's my job to care for her right now. I really feel like, and I know she wants me over there.
Honestly, if she told me to leave, I'd say, it's all right. I'll just cuddle up next to you in bed. We don't have to talk. I just want to be,
without consent?
She makes me happy, and I know that just the thought of me in her mind makes her happy.
Sounds like it's all about you.
Obviously, this whole thing is really stressful and tough to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, I said, there were some like kind of situations in my past that made me who I am, and mm-hmm. I think the
who
biggest
talks
one
about
is
this stuff?
I
don't
know.
When I was 13, I was skiing in Utah with my family.
The story sucks already.
My mom ended up falling over, she ended up having a stroke.
Oh no!
Ended up airlifting her to a hospital in
Utah. He's known her for about 45 minutes.
I remember
minutes.
Walking in there with my brother and trying to talk to my mom, and she couldn't like speak in a sentence and. I just remember leaving that room and bawling. You know, I was 13.
She has a cold.
You know, from that situation, I learned, you know, how strong my parents' relationship was. I told you before, they've been married for 37 years.
What's the gun sound for this guy?
Yeah, they were married when they were younger than us. And there are a lot of ups and downs in life.
Please,
and,
Brandon. Thank you.
You know,
was that Mark?
And
thank
health,
you.
And all I think
right,
it just
that's
showed
enough
me, like,
sex.
Wow.
Hey, guys, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
What's better, the onion with a lot of... Oh, we should watch Cam, who, and by the way, his theory is ABC, always be Cam.
Right. This is the Joe Tessitore look.
She wasn't being tossed... Yeah, Maz thinks she looks like Joe Tessitore.
Does anybody know what Joe Tessitore looks like?
I didn't until Maz brought up a picture.
He's just a generic guy in a suit, really. Joe Tessitore is very generic looking.
He's not generic.
I know you have a man crush on him.
I do.
But he's very generic.
Around the 155 mark, I think, is around where it is. And then they show the highlights, which there's a lot of crying.
A lot of good highlights.
This is what I don't understand this either. Why are 25-year-olds crying all the time? Her, too. She's bawling all the time. It just blows my mind. It makes me think you're not happy. Maybe the old way's better.
That is weird.
Don't be such a sack of shit all the time, and maybe you won't cry all the time.
155?
Yeah, it's after the rose ceremony is over. Cam hugs her.
How dramatic was the rose ceremony?
Pretty dramatic. Okay, you can put about there. About there. Yeah, there's Cam. Poor guy.
Hannah is in a position. Does she believe Mike J., who says that I'm here for a pity rose?
This is Cam talking.
Or is she going to have some faith
down to the final two roses?
Lucas.
I would never use this as leverage. That was absolutely the most devastating thing that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Looks like a skinny Tom Green.
He does look like Tom Green. You're right.
If I go home because of this,
look.
It will be a lot of bitterness.
Looks more like Tom Green, I think.
Look.
Why does Harris have to tell her there's only one rose?
Gentlemen, this is the final rose tonight.
Tour looks
it's
like.
Just his, that's Joe Tess. It's just his way of getting on the show. Harrison's pissed about the millionaire.
That guy does look like Tom Green. It's a great one, Brandon. Heads up. Get ready for some crying.
Kevin.
Oh, Cam.
Cam just got shot.
Always be Cam. Wow. Go
to the waiter.
Show.
The waiter got canned, too.
Of course I will.
Of course I will. Here comes Matt Shepard now. You're going to see a Matt Shepard.
Black guy got in a battle with
Rose.
Cam.
Take a moment. Say goodbye.
Oh, Matt Shepard. Yeah, Matt Shepard gets kicked off the show.
I love
this
how
it looks like Matt Shepard.
All of Tom separated at births for our this sports. Our sports people.
Look, Mark, here comes Matt Shepard. Ready?
It's terrible. I had a great time.
That is Matt Shepard. Young Matt Shepard.
That one is?
Yeah, that must be what his son looks like.
I thought it was Aaron Rodgers.
I'll try.
Take care.
He does look like, he really does look like Matt Shepard.
There's the waiter.
Yeah, the waiter. Check, please.
86.
Bye.
And here comes Cam. Here comes Cam.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really do hope that you find what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, fake. You don't care.
What
oh, my
Cam.
God. He's so deep.
See ya. Okay, check it out. This guy is so
it's a tough pill to swallow to hear someone that you pour your heart out to call you calculated. It sucks. Because if she truly knew Cam, she would know that's not her nature.
Oh, boy.
I pussy. Came out here with the best of intentions. I still can't believe that.
Uh-oh.
When I was as most vulnerable as I've ever been, that people were questioning my integrity.
When did 25-year-olds get like this?
The worst part truly is that I made some real friends here. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to see them again.
Okay, watch the highlights. There's a lot of balling.
Man up. Next week, stop crying.
Your, like, energy is so, like, contagious.
He's flash. He's your boyfriend.
I want to be the guy at the end of the day on a knee with you.
I feel something growing inside me that I've never felt before.
Somebody,
and
the
I
gun.
Think it could turn into
watch versus hoop. How many takes? Whoa. Look at this guy. Look at Luke.
You're aggressive.
You are his
peppers.
Why does every single guy here dislike you?
We all know that Luke P is an evil, pathological liar.
Let me just tell you, man, karma is a bitch.
Get out of its way.
Yours. Your story has changed. I feel like you think that I'm a threat to you because I am the biggest
Harper.
Threat against you right now.
I'm not threatened by anybody.
Ooh.
Especially
he does.
Not you.
Good one, Brandon.
Somebody mess with my queen. I need to take that person out.
Oh.
Somebody's going to the hospital. Look. Oh, look. Look at the bachelorette.
And later this season.
I don't care what you said to her. I've been nothing but truthful. And you are not going to mess it up.
Stop with my mind.
That's Bryce.
I just don't fully understand how all you right, can Brandon. Be as amazing as you are and even consider someone like him.
Where I'm from, we call that
there what? Have been some people questioning Hannah.
I don't owe you anything at this point. Just stop.
Period.
My husband would never say what you said to me. You
period.
Don't own me. You don't get to decide what I can and can't do because, first of all, you're not my husband. Ooh. Even my husband, the person I'm going to be with, is going to allow me to
I just broke up with
person.
Her.
Get the away from me.
That's the camera.
I believe that sex was made for a man and a woman in marriage, but I'm having physical relationships.
Nice.
So, like, I have had sex.
Nice. In the
and
house?
Honestly, Jesus still loves me.
Wow.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
Okay. Where's that guy?
If Hannah B. wants me, it's over. That speech about my husband will never say it anymore. Boy, that was a lot of finger pointing, Maz.
That's a Southern Belle.
Are
man.
You done with her?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet.
Really?
She's tough.
Ooh, I dodged a bullet there.
She's a tough chick.
Player Dave's done with her. Why can't they have a bachelorette with 25 Player Daves on it?
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
It would be a different show. The
sex
chick
for
would
you,
be.
Period.
It's ridiculous.
Fine, I don't ever want to see you again. Go away. I'm dating somebody else. I hate you.
I'm dating somebody else already.
There's only one bachelorette and he's dating someone else.
Here he is when he meets her.
Hey, I know you. Ha ha.
Go to the noon news mm-hmm. on Channel 7.
The
new Michigan State president
yeah.
is from...
Stony Brook?
Yeah, Stony Brook. And...
Okay, Lou Simon?
First of all, they're in.
Lou Simon's a replacement.
They're trying to end yes. the jinx. The Lou Simon jinx. She started Angler. It didn't work out. Upta Sadish passed yeah. out at the graduation. Now this guy steps in, Dr. Samuel Stanley Jr., and he can prescribe drugs, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he went to Harvard. Ooh. And he's really big on.
Sounds like a good guy.
He's a big advocate Stanley. For the Me Too movement, which, by the way, who isn't an advocate yeah, of the Me Too?
No.
Does anyone go around saying, I am not an advocate of the Me Too movement?
Just maybe that guy that was on The Bachelorette that said if she told him to leave, he would stay and cuddle up with her.
Possibly. There might be a few. But, I mean, I think we can assume that.
Yes.
Is that something people need to say
no.
in order to curry favor? And he's also a big fan of diversity.
Oh.
And I thought, well, wait a second. If you're so into diversity, why are you taking the job? Because you're a white man. It seems to me if you were really into diversity, you would turn down the job for someone more diverse. Don't you think?
That's a good idea.
Is it really appropriate for a white man to take a job like that and then say that he's really into diversity?
I think you might
have a little hypocritical.
Something.
Oh, you're saying white men can't be into diversity?
No, I'm just saying when he just took a
job,
they passed over other people.
What's his message for parents and students?
Anne-Marie, the new president, talked passionately about bringing a stable environment to the university, fostering that here at the John Hanna administration building during a press conference. This is in the wake of the Larry Nassar abuse scandal.
Go speed ahead. He talks about what a great job the selection committee did, which I thought was very self-serving.
Well, yeah, they chose him.
I know.
I don't blame him.
Listen to what he says. Listen to this dude.
It's a great line.
Watch this. He said he wants to meet with victims of the former gymnastics coach as quickly as possible, along with focusing on promoting diversity here on campus. As a Seattle native, Stanley has no ties to MSU and says he wants to look into new and better policies for a safer campus. Here's part of his message from a few minutes ago.
Listen to this.
I cannot express how much I appreciate the confidence in the Board of Trustees has placed in me, and how much I appreciate the work of the Presidential Search Committee. I wanted to say this one thing about them, and that is, 64. And you've heard it today, I think they so ably represented this community.
Yeah, because they picked you.
Yeah.
I mean, coming up at 5, isn't that a closer silly? Look at
well, I agree with him. He would have chosen himself, too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it only makes sense, but I would say, hey, being that they picked me, I agree with everything they did. I think they did a great job. But he acts like they did such a fantastic job because they came up with me!
I am non-braggadocious.
That's great.
Fantastic job.
That's awesome.
There was also a freeway shooter. I didn't even know about this till today. Some guy shot at two cars, one on 94 and one on 275.
Really? I didn't know about that either.
They arrested him. He's
was he trying to put the horse down?
No, he seemed to be trying to put people down. No, he didn't hit anybody. He hit their cars multiple times, though.
Dick.
And he's a 25-year-old guy. They said he was known to police. They wouldn't name him. But
why is he doing it?
They don't know. They just arrested him at in Romulus. He lives in Romulus.
He was on both highways? He went from 94 to 275?
I don't think it was the same day.
Just shooting cars?
Yeah, shooting at cars.
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
And then they're also, in Highland Park, they're looking for...
Look, man, if I cut you off, I apologize. But what are you doing? You can't do this. You know, I got a couple of kids in this car. You can cause an accident and get someone killed.
The cops in Highland Park went to look for some guy who was drag racing or street racing. And first of all, he's driving a white Chrysler 300. Is that a car to... race?
He probably souped it up.
Chrysler 300.
I'm going to burn up the rubber with my Lamborghini.
Maybe he wanted to race, but he wasn't going to win.
So this guy plows into both cop cars and then drives away. Oh, and I think they shot at him.
Demolition derby.
And they're looking for a white Chrysler 300 with front end damage.
He ought to get to Zot right away and get something else.
Yeah, good call. He needs to be in another car.
Get the hell out of there.
Then we have the guy who shot this kid who was wearing Cartier sunglasses in a store on 7 Mile. He tries to take his Cartier sunglasses off him, this 18-year-old, and the guy ducks, and he ends up shooting him and killing him, but he didn't get the glasses.
No.
So, yeah, that really was a good move there, dude.
And kid was planning to go off to college, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, 18 years old.
Jesus.
I wonder if they were...
Knock off?
Your shell thought. That's knock exactly off. What I was thinking. I wonder how much the Cartiers cost, or if they're really Cartiers.
I was kind of
wondering, what do Cartier sunglasses cost? Are they worth that much? I mean, I'm not saying
the guy just like them.
To shoot anybody, but
I don't know if any sunglasses are worth whatever the cost is going to be for Cartier sunglasses.
Well, it surprised me that an 18-year-old have glasses that are worth so much money that someone would shoot them for it. But I don't even know what Cartier sunglasses are worth.
Right? Well, they range anywhere from I'm seeing 300. All the way up to like 7,000.
Oh.
He had the kind like on the end there. Like at least one. Judging from the one picture.
These ones are $420.
That's a lot for sunglasses for an 18-year-old. But, I mean, it doesn't mean you shoot the guy.
No shit. I'm sure.
Well. And they could have been knockoffs. But the guy didn't even take the glasses. He just takes off in a red Chevy Cobalt. So they need a new car too, man.
They do. And he should have went to Aldo to get the sunglasses.
Yeah, they do have a lot of frames.
Now they have pictures of
what the fuck is wrong with people?
Everything.
I mean, isn't it amazing?
Everything is wrong with
them. They have pictures of the alleged suspect and two people that were inside
with him.
At the time.
Clear pictures. I mean, clear pictures. How they haven't found these guys yet? The girl and the guy.
It's a shit.
I think that's a dude.
Oh, that's a dude.
Yeah, it really? Says two males, and then this is the alleged shooter.
Huh. Oh, that's the shooter.
There's the Cobalt.
Yes.
Okay, the Cobalt, they showed the Cobalt. They showed him getting out of the Cobalt.
What a turn.
They had a real close shot of the Cobalt. I was surprised they were driving it looks like a slow car to me. It was a four-door with white interior. I get a feeling like it's his mom's car or something.
Doesn't it look like you can get the plate right off?
Yeah, they probably did.
Yeah, he's going to be busted soon.
And then,
unless it was a stolen car.
did you hear about the 15-year-olds playing with a gun and one guy shot the other kid and then he has taken off. He's a fugitive now. He was on probation before he shot the other 15-year-old, but they think it was an accident anyway.
But he was on probation.
Yeah, he was on probation.
What was he on probation for?
They didn't say.
Robbery?
I don't know. Didn't say.
Sounds like a good kid.
But, you know, inevitably in these stories, I always want to know, and it seems like they usually don't tell you, like, is this their parents' gun? Is it their gun? Did they steal the gun? I mean, does anyone have any interest in punishing parents when kids shoot people with their guns?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that seem like that's a crime?
Agreed.
Or whoever's gun it is, if they get whoever they get it from.
Yeah, if somebody sold it to a 15-year-old and he shoots up a school, because, you know,
registered.
Well, you still know. I mean, you can take the gun and figure out, in a lot of cases, where they got it or whose gun it is. Or, I mean, often it's the parents' gun. Who was the guy? The guy in Denver. I forgot. I never even heard about that gun because they usually say, it's legal because nobody did anything wrong.
Yeah.
Even though he shot eight people.
The guy with the hair.
Yeah. Fuchsia man.
Hair.
Yeah, great guy. What a loser.
Sad.
Total loser.
Wow, I saw the wildest true crime story today.
Of course you did.
Just the wildest. You may have heard of it. They had a special last night on ID.
Yeah.
And it was about, let me find my notes. I actually took notes. It was so fascinating. It was about this guy named Jonah.
Falcon?
Not someone cut his dick off.
Although we probably
wait till he finds out about OJ.
We probably should let him know because I don't want anyone else.
I could envelop the entire doorknob with my foreskin.
Why would you want?
You should have Jonah on to tell
him. I'm worried that someone will tell Jonah first. Yeah.
What if he sees Pardo's biography? I mean, whatever the hell you call it, documentary.
It'd be better if you heard it from us first. To ride
the beast, it must be unfurled. You gotta break it, though. 8, 9, 10, and it keeps growing, growing. Too damn
big, it's just too damn big. Your penis too big. Jonah Shacknai, Shacknai. He's married to this woman. Okay, first of all, he invented Restylane, so he's a billionaire.
Okay.
What the hell is Restylane?
It's, you shoot it to take care of wrinkles. Oh. It's like filler, facial fillers. So he's married to this woman, and they're just
loaded.
Mm-hmm. And he's got a 6-year-old kid.
48 Hours did a really good story on this.
Yeah, this is a 2-hour version. And they went through the trial, which was fascinating. Anyway, Jonah Shacknai divorces his wife, and they share custody of Max, who's 6. Jonah then has a girlfriend named Rebecca, who's from Burma, and she ends up in the United States.
Pretty, very pretty.
She is, yeah, beautiful. She's 20 years younger than he is. She's got a really nice job in Phoenix, but they meet, I think he was a patient. It was an optical place, and he starts hitting on her. He starts hitting on the help.
Oh, boy.
And they go out. They fall in love. She moves in with him on Coronado Island off of San Diego, or Coronado. I don't know if they call it Coronado Island, whatever they call it.
Coronado Springs.
And
what?
No, they don't call it Coronado Springs.
It was a Disney place I stayed at.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Jonah's at work, and Rebecca's home with Max, his son. She's the girlfriend. And Max falls over a balcony and grabs a chandelier while he's falling, and he almost dies. She resuscitates him, I guess. And they take him to the hospital, and he's in ICU in very bad shape. Well, of course, she's absolutely devastated by this because she was in charge, I guess, only 6. And it's just, this accident's very weird, too. The next day, his brother flies in from Mississippi, where he's a tugboat captain.
Cool.
And I guess he's, I don't know what he's there for based on what happened, but the 2 days after, he gets up, masturbates to porn.
Oh.
And why he ever told them that, yeah, I was beaten off, and you know, after I blew a load, I...
Wait, Jonah or the tugboat captain?
The tugboat captain, the brother. Jonah's at the hospital.
Okay.
Rebecca is in the house.
Yeah.
Adam is in the guest house. Adam beats off, gets out of the guest house after he's done. He's refracting, I guess. And he sees a woman hanging from the balcony of the master bedroom.
Tied up too, wasn't she?
Her hands are tied behind her back, and her legs are tied too, I believe.
Oh, my God.
And so he calls 911 and gives this really like, there's a female hanging. And they're like, is she dead? Yeah, I think she's dead. But it's very dispassionate conversation. But anyway, they determine that she hung herself. And also, her husband and her boyfriend said that she tied the boat up. And he thought that she tied it in knots like the one she tied her hands behind her back. And it turned out it wasn't impossible to do what she did. It was quite strange.
Didn't they claim that sometimes people will commit suicide with their hands tied so they don't fight it?
Right. She had a gag in her mouth, too.
Oh, my God.
And they thought that was so she couldn't scream.
Hmm.
I know, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Well, her family immediately says, no, Adam killed her. And
the whacker?
Yeah, the guy who's beaten off.
The tugger.
Killed her.
Yeah.
And that's this part of the story gets really
why?
Weird. Because her hands were tied behind her back.
No, but why? What's his motive?
There's no motive. There is no... That's the part that drove me crazy. He just shows up and all of a sudden he's a murderer.
Yeah, after beating off, no way.
Right.
She'd be relaxed.
Although this guy, Adam, he's weird enough that after a while you're like, I don't know, maybe this guy did do it because he's a tugboat captain, so he does knots, and knot behind her back.
Okay.
And, you know, they're really working this thing. And then also they found...
He did just beat off, I mean...
In this one room, they found a knife, a butcher knife, which they thought she may have been trying to... They found her prints on it. They thought she was trying to cut the ropes behind her back, maybe.
I mean, come on. It's her house.
And How many hands does she have?
There was blood on the knife, but there was no blood on her hands. So they're like, wait, why is there no blood on her hands? And I'm like, how do you fucking answer this? Well, the prosecution, they prosecuted Adam civilly and won.
Yeah.
They said that he sexually assaulted her with a butcher knife and she was on her period.
The great sleuth.
And that's where the blood came from.
Gross.
I know.
How'd they test it?
Like, so I don't know. And then I'm like, can they tell this blood from that one? Like, I didn't even want to know.
Huh.
Can they?
I don't know.
Oh, that's giving me a clue.
It was so gross.
Oh, I just started getting a clue.
And then they revealed that there was menstrual blood in the show.
I've got a raging clue right now.
Okay, miss.
I didn't hear you say it.
Oh, the sloughing process could.
Oh,
man.
Did you have to say it three times?
I'm going to edit that.
That's over the line.
I heard it the first time. Can you bleep that?
Great sleuth.
I have to.
That's disgusting. You disgust me.
Oh, that was a valid point.
I'm just saying.
Three times.
Four. The prosecution says that.
Blood coming out of her, wherever.
There was a woman who said she heard a woman screaming at 11:30, some old bag.
Okay.
And the old bag.
Wait, but she hung herself at 1 o'clock, so why is she screaming at 11:30? She answered her own voicemail. She called her own voicemail at 10 to 1, which was Jonah calling to say that the kid is taking a turn for the worse. He'll never walk and he'll never talk again.
Oh.
And he's probably going to die. Which, by the way, nice thing leaving a voicemail to the person who probably feels worst about it. You know, so it's possibly her fault.
Was she blaming herself in this time
She felt very guilty about it.
Right, well.
But then there's another part of the story that's really weird. And that's that how did the kid go over this banister and his scooter went over the banister, too? They were claiming, like, no, scooter didn't go over the banister.
He
was riding his scooter on this carpet, which looked kind of thick, and he's going really fast, and he hit the banister and launched himself over the
thing. Like Evel Knievel?
And they actually bought that. People were buying that, and they took the chandelier down. And
okay.
It was, if you saw how high the thing was, you go, what? And he's on carpet. What the fuck? Really?
Isn't that why they have a code for the height of the chandelier?
Some people thought she killed the kid.
Yeah.
That she was disciplining him, shaking him, and he was squirming, and he like fell over the thing because she was too close to the
Wasn't there a dog involved, too? Wasn't that another theory?
Okay, when she revived him, she said that he said, Ocean. That was the only word he said. Ocean's the name of the dog.
Okay.
Aww. But the doctor said... No, because his trachea was completely destroyed. He couldn't have talked. He couldn't have said anything. So anyway, this whole every part of the story is so weird. I mean, did she kill the kid? Did the kid really launch himself over? Was the kid squirming in her arms? What the fuck? How'd this kid die? And then why would this Adam guy, who's never raped or has sexually assaulted anyone, why has he decided to sexually assault his brother's girlfriend after his son has died two nights earlier? I mean, it's like, what? And then also, why does she hang herself nude? Which that was another big point. Women never kill themselves nude. That is just absolutely
that's out
beyond the pale.
And that sure is a mystery.
And then so this the prosecution in the civil case did a great job, and in the end they won 9-3. The jurors voted 9-1 that he was responsible for her death. He killed her. So this is when it gets really weird, because he all of a sudden gives a statement. His brother defended him. His brother said, there's no way my brother did that.
Jonah.
There's no way, Jonah said. There's no way Adam did that. I have no reason to believe he did that. And he said, she tied knots on my boat, and that's probably the knot she tied. And so Adam gives a press conference after the verdict, and Adam's really mad, and he
that's the brother, the tugboat. He called masturbator.
Rebecca, yeah, the masturbator. The refractor when he called 911. They said he called her family posers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
So that they were lucky they won. Which was what? Posers? Why are they posers?
Wow.
It was so weird.
Sometimes it's better just to shut up.
Did this guy, now he does seem like a murderer. Who calls the fucking people that lost their sister and their daughter a poser?
This guy's a different bird.
He is a different bird.
Right, so get to the end.
But the city of San Diego still says it's a suicide. They just reinvestigated and said it is a suicide.
So he's free.
Yes, he's free. And he said they will not get lucky again.
Wow.
As in him being convicted of it.
Is this it right here?
Did they confirm if the family was posers?
Yeah, that's Adam. That might be him calling her a poser.
You know, I've been living with, you know, horrible false accusations. And yeah, they bother me, but I'll say this. The people I come in contact with, be it friends, coworkers, acquaintances, strangers.
Did you catch the beginning?
It's very gratifying to know that I've never come across one who thought for a second that I had anything to do with it. And yeah, it bothers me, but it doesn't bother anybody else because they know me and they see me for what I am.
Did you catch the very beginning? Because that's when he said poser, I think. If you go to the, I have it on ID.
Let me just say this about.
That was the beginning of this particular one.
Hey, fun fact.
Check out ID. It's the, I think it's the Rebecca somebody case. And if you go towards the end, it's when he calls him poser.
Fun fact, that house has been
the
sold.
The Spreckle house?
And now Danielle Steele lives there, the novelist.
Ooh.
What?
Well.
The house has its own Wikipedia entry. Sex, Lies, and Murder. Is it that one?
No. That's another thing. As I record a lot of stuff.
You do. Okay, wait. You have a new Sex, Lies, and Murder today.
I tried one of these.
It's from last night.
Murder in the Heartland?
No, that's not it. Rebecca Zahow. That's it. Okay, if you go to the end, resume. It's probably close to it. Rewind like 2 minutes, and you'll see this.
Is that her sister?
Yeah, that's her sister. She's hot.
Poser.
She said, yeah, poser. She got lucky.
Oh, it's probably right here.
There's
right?
The dick.
Okay. Play. There we go.
So you think he did it, Drew?
Are his glasses weird, by the way? No, I don't know. I just can't. Why would he murder her? His brother's kid just died. It's so weird.
And he's the only guy that could have murdered her. Like,
well, okay. Get this. Keep it paused.
Like, where's Norman Pardo?
For like 2 or 3 years, they said that his wife and him and his wife's sister did it.
No.
They said that the wife was there, and then they came up with surveillance tape proving that she wasn't there. And the guy suing, the family suing, said, we apologize to the wife, who, by the way, was being accused of murdering the sister for 2 fucking years. They had a press conference with her and the sister there saying, they did not do it. We've proven they didn't do it.
There's no motive.
I know. No.
I'm stuck on that.
Well, the mother, no. They said the mother was mad at her because she let her kid die.
No, but I mean for the brother.
No, I know. I don't think there's any motive either. It's ridiculous. And he sure as fuck didn't care enough about the kid to kill her.
No.
The awards, the Zahow family. More than $5 million in damages. Immediately following
the bucket for his brother.
Keith Greer and Mary Zahow Lehner speak to the press.
Hopefully we can get the sheriff's department to put resources into this.
Yeah, hard the lawyer is
really
knowing his fees are paid.
Oh, I know, he is.
Effectively and efficiently investigate the death of Rebecca Zahow and hopefully eventually prosecute.
Adam Shacknife.
No matter what happens, Rebecca, I can't get her back. Our family can't get her back.
But $5 million ain't bad.
But hopefully people will know that she didn't commit suicide.
The next day, Adam Shacknife holds a press conference of his own.
I'm standing tall. I'm not worried about these posers. They got away with something once. They got lucky. They say it's better to be lucky than good. They got lucky one time. I don't think they're going to get lucky again.
Was that a threat?
He has been accused of being a sexual deviant.
He's got Buddy Holly glasses.
So he's pretty understandably upset.
Sexual deviant just because he beat off?
By the same token, he called this family posers. And some people thought that that was very insensitive.
Oh, that mystery.
Despite resolution in the civil trial, many questions remain unanswered.
This case involves the mysteriousness of not one, but two deaths at this beautiful mansion on a beautiful seaside in a beautiful town in California.
There's no doubt that if Max had not been injured in this fall, Rebecca would still be alive. They are so connected, if by nothing else, motive. Whether you believe Rebecca killed herself or somebody else killed her, the motive came from the injury and ultimate death to Max.
Why is Adam going to kill her? I don't know.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Unless Max killed the kid. I mean,
wait, he wasn't
Rebecca Max killed the kid?
No, not
Adam.
Adam killed the kid?
Adam wasn't there.
He wasn't there
came in
yet.
When the kid was injured.
After he got injured. That's why he was there. Yeah.
Damn.
The great sleuth.
Thank you.
Hey, listen to this part. As part of the $5 million judgment for loss of love and companionship, as well as an additional $167,000 for the loss of financial support she would have provided to her mother and
she
siblings.
She sent the family $400 a month. I know.
Heh. Yeah. Although she was going to commit suicide, wouldn't she send them a bunch of money before she...
She quit her job because Jonah said, look, I make billions. So you're $3,000 a month. Fuck it.
He didn't take care of her parents, her family?
I don't know that he, I don't know that
she was still technically married at the time to somebody else.
Oh, she was? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was married to another dude.
Brandon.
Really?
There you go.
Well, hey, I just started getting a clue.
Look at that. Maybe that guy killed the kid.
That guy, Thomas. What are you, Norman Pardo of this story? Maybe it was a Juice that killed him.
Juice Ripper.
That's wow. That's a wild story.
That was. It's crazy. That whole 2 hours was amazing.
Brandon's clue.
Oh, I want to know if anybody out there has seen the movie The Perfection that just premiered on Netflix.
The Perfection?
Yes.
Was it good?
Starring Brian Williams' daughter, Allison
Williams. Oh, I heard about that.
Is it good?
She shows her ass a few times.
There's a really hot lesbo scene with her and this black chick in it.
Really?
Yeah, Allison Williams getting down.
The movie's, it's a thriller slash horror type movie. It's pretty.
I love lesbians.
It's pretty wild. I kept making Brandon watch. There's a male nudity scene. I said, Brandon, come over here and check this part out. Although it's blurred. Right, Brandon?
They blurred the dong?
The dude from Wings.
Now, you missed the first half hour, but I kept making him come over and watch.
Which guy from Wings is showing his dong?
Steven Weber.
Oh, he's cool.
Really?
Brandon, you're shocked that he showed his dong. Yeah.
Why is he bringing his dong out at this point in his career?
He's on Ballers,
he needs
too,
a job.
Mark, he's on Ballers,
too. He's on Ballers. He's one of the brothers, the billionaire brothers. Brandon, I bet you it's on Mr. Skin, that scene, or it's on Netflix. It's about when there's an hour 11 left.
Wait, his dong is in the movie?
It's blurred. It's blurred.
You gotta bring it out. Why blur it?
You gotta see this lesbo scene, man. It was great.
Let's see that. Let's see that.
Although, not to spoil it, but the chick that she gets it on with ends up like shitting herself later in the movie.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
She doesn't shit on her, does she?
Did you think that looked interesting, though, Brandon? The scenes I showed you?
I saw the scenes that I need to see, and I'll never watch the show again.
You pretty much got the whole gist of the movie.
For the life of me, I cannot imagine what Steven Weber's dong has to do with any plot.
It's Netflix. They're trying to make a name for themselves.
Although I
should use his dong.
Might be a little bit of a spoiler alert. Let's stop focusing on his dong. Sorry. For anybody who wants to see it. Let's get this. Ooh.
Steven Weber shows his ass.
It's Allison Williams looking hot, making out with the chick.
Oh, she'll
do it. I love lesbians.
There they are dancing out on the night on the town.
Don't you remember
her? They were both.
And she's like her dad, just in the DNA. She'll do anything to advance her career.
They're both cellist prodigies.
Scissor me timbers!
And Allison Williams was like the other girl, really looked up to her. But then she had to stop being a prodigy. Lesbians. They both admire each other. And apparently when women admire each other, they get it on.
Cool.
Oh, shit.
I'm
going
to need to see this enlarged.
Man, make it bigger, man.
Thank you.
So Tom can beat off like Adam...
Whoa.
Adam Shacknai?
Is that a great stop shot?
Wow.
Don't you remember in Girls?
Look at that. Ooh, look at the curvature.
Remember in Girls?
Allison yeah, which got a butt eaten out. Yeah.
That boob was smashed against the other girl. There's no altering that fact. I don't care if they're acting or not. It really was.
Oh, there's no acting in this. This is full-on passion.
I think this they added this to the plot because it happened.
Look at
it. And the camera's rolling. So hot.
Nobody's that good of an actor. There she's going down on her. Nice.
Bless you.
Spike!
Check this part out right here. Right there.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. See, yeah, that's...
Right there!
Which takes me back to Girls, because Allison Williams, obviously, in that one opening of Girls, she gets her butt eaten out. Right. How do you act that?
You can't. You just have to do it.
How do you act stick? I mean, that guy's face was far up her butthole.
I think they added that to the plot, too. It just happened. The camera was rolling, and they were like, wow, that was hot. What's what? You got a camera on? Jesus.
That was a hidden camera.
Brian Williams was watching that scene as well.
Oh, I'm sure he has.
He did. No, he did. He watched that being filmed.
He directed it.
He did.
He produced Girls, in case you didn't know. He runs HBO.
Wasn't he the boyfriend instead of Adam Driver?
Yeah, I think probably. Just ask him. He'll tell you everything he's done.
Yeah, they put a wig on him and actually he's in the scene.
I've never been.
Look at that. Look at her both
nude. They put an Adam Driver mask on him so she would know.
I see that, Mark. Back that up.
My mom got sick. I went home.
Blah, blah, blah.
She's beautiful, isn't she?
That's great.
Pretty.
Remember that time I saw her in a restaurant in Palm in New York?
What?
I did not remember.
No.
Yeah, I told you guys.
Okay, well, let's hear this story.
Was there interaction? What was the closest thing to interaction?
Did you say, remember that time you got your ass eaten out on Girls?
No, she walked right behind me. I was sitting down with my brother-in-law, and she was in the restaurant.
How do you know she's behind you if she's behind you?
Well, she came in. I saw her, and then she's walking out with her group.
Okay, and you were aware of her when she was walking behind you?
No, I was aware of it the minute she walked in, and she stood by the bar.
But, I mean, when she was behind you, you were aware because she'd walked in earlier. So you're like, wow, she's walking behind me right now.
Exactly.
That's the whole story?
How close was she to you?
Like between you and me.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah.
What did she smell like?
I don't know.
Did
you steaks were smelling
good at
that
point. Did you swivel your head?
I didn't swivel my head until she, like, walked past me.
Wait, I'm... blown away by this because
I've told you guys this before.
But you're Tom Mazzaway. Why don't you ask her for something?
I know. I should have said something.
But yet, why don't you ask, like, hook two people up?
I should have.
For a quid pro quo.
Definitely should have. No question.
See this, Drew? Here's that scene.
Look at that.
How do you act that?
I
wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I really.
She had a.
I think the camera was just rolling.
She was clothed in that.
I think they added to the plot. I really do.
Yeah, it looks like it would be her apartment for real.
Speaking of Netflix,
good for him. But I want to know if anybody has seen the movie, what they thought of it. I really liked it. I thought it was there's some silly.
What's it called again?
The Perfection.
I think I want to watch
it. It's kind of Whiplash-esque in a way. Remember Whiplash?
Oh yeah, Whiplash was crazy,
but not entirely. I want you to watch it. I think you'll like it. I think you'll like it.
Whiplash got insane to me. It was like, this is crazy. I liked it up to a point.
Fair warning.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thriller.
It's
going to be a little ridiculous.
Orson Welles' final movie is on Netflix now.
It is?
The one he made in 1970 and worked on until 1987 when he died. And reshot like tons of stuff over time. Kept running out of money. Then he'd get more money and he'd shoot more. Then
didn't do anything?
Ate a bunch of fudgesicles.
Oh, yeah. They mentioned the fudgesicles. And there's a documentary about the movie also on Netflix called... They'll Love Me When I'm Dead.
Oh,
and Sybil Shepherd is on there, and she said, yeah, he was supposed to be with us for a couple weeks, and he stayed 3 years, and we always had to have lots of fudgesicles.
Oh, no way.
And she told us when we talked to her that if you ate the last fudgesicle, Orson would lose it.
You talked to Sybil Shepherd?
Who the hell are you, anyway?
Yeah, she destroyed the whole studio.
She ruined the studio.
I didn't know that. She smoked.
She burned something on the floor.
Spilled
her
things.
And I have the same birthday.
102, take one.
Bloop!
With over that.
There's Orson's best work to this day.
This, the French is in the documentary.
Yes,
I swear to God.
See it. This is great.
He did ads for money. He was so desperate for money, he did any ads.
Did you just do anything?
No, sorry. Yeah, really?
Take two.
He's so bad.
102, take two.
Who was better, him or Raymond Burr?
Ah, the French champagne.
has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Is so off there.
It is a California.
I want to see a documentary on the other people in this commercial.
Inspired,
like an oral history.
I've seen them so many times. I killed an
Oudere. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So pour my song.
Cut. We're 3 minutes into a minute commercial, Horson. He's scratching his eye.
So
the French champagne has always been celebrated.
So hammered.
For
send him home.
There is a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Taps the bottle.
So wasted.
Inspired by that same French excellence, it's fermented in the bottle and like the best French.
He's reading this too off a cue card.
Dated.
I know. He thinks he's giving a really cool read. I can't follow a thing he's saying.
Yeah. Well, the dub version just does the voiceover.
John Huston stars in this movie. John Huston's playing a director who is believed to be Orson Welles, who's at the end of his career. He's trying to make the bookend to Citizen Kane because he made this great movie, the best movie ever, a lot of people say, in 1938. And then he has all these debacles. Although there's some, a lot of people love his movies. And then in 1970, he was going to make this. He had some big ideas, but he didn't have the budgeting because America had basically turned its back on him. They just thought he was nuts. And,
America.
America. But
we all turned our collective back on Orson.
Yes. You won't believe who he casted in the movie, though. Rich Little.
What?
This major role. And Rich Little could shoot for one, for 3 weeks. And he said, well, I need you for one. And then he was there for like 2 weeks, and it was looked like it was going to be a full 3 weeks, and he had to go do a show. It was like Dustin Diamond with the People magazine thing. And so
Rich Little is credited as party guest in this film.
Yeah, because his role was cut because he was banging some chick on the set, and then apparently before he was done shooting,
that's why he stayed so long.
He got really homesick and missed his wife and said he wanted to fly home. And so they went to get him to do his shooting for the next day. He had like 2 days left, and he was gone.
Really?
So like, we have to cut him out of the movie and reshoot everything.
Wow.
He still got credit.
It's insane. And Peter Bogdanovich played a role in 1970, and when they were back in 1974, when they had more money, they said, well, he's a famous director now because he made The Last Picture Show. And he's with Sybil Shepherd, and Orson, of course, is eating their fudge sickles. And so Orson said, well, who am I going to play this other director? Because it's about his last movie and all these directors showing up to see it on the last day of his life. And Peter Bogdanovich says, well, I can play that now. I'm a director. I'm doing okay. I don't want to play that dumb role I played before. So they reshoot his old role, and he played the new role. It was so bizarre. And I actually watched some of the movie, and it's weird. A lot of people like it. It's very strange. It's dated, but there's a lot of nudity.
The
other side of the
wind. It's a new movie starring John Huston, who died over 30 years ago.
Yeah. Wow. And John Huston is actually interesting as the lead. I thought he was pretty good. I mean, he's old, but he's supposed to play an old director showing his final movie. Yeah. It was the story.
I'm going to watch that documentary.
I thought the documentary was better than the movie.
Yeah.
But the documentary
Orson's
was
fascinating.
Really
a fascinating
fun to. Yeah.
Guy.
Orson is absolutely fascinating.
It's so weird.
On a song.
He got huge.
Yeah, he did.
He really did. So anyway, I see we're at the 226 mark. We should knock this thing out. You want to get us out of here, Brandon? And I wonder if we'll have another barbecue tomorrow.
That would have been nice.
Great barbecue yesterday.
That was delicious.
Would have been nice to have one today.
We have the grill now.
Oh, did you bring
some extra food in the refrigerator?
I would have.
A lot of cupcakes. Did you use the cupcakes?
Next Tuesday, bring some.
No, I had that custard dessert you gave me.
Oh, you like
custard.
That better.
I did. That was good.
Did you eat one of them or two of them?
Just one. I saved
just
you
one?
One.
Oh, okay.
Saved you one.
If you want for a post show, you can do that.
Maybe. Yacht Rock's back on, by the way. Channel
oh,
70.
Is this all your non sequiturs? Did you actually write anything down?
Oh.
Yeah, I did.
What other non sequiturs?
I got. I wanted to talk about that Beatles special I heard all weekend long. It was a 12-hour special.
I want to hear that.
Kevin Howland, you gotta listen
every
to
song
him.
from the beginning to the end,
in a row, the right exact when they recorded.
So it ended with "Free as a Bird" and
yep.
"Real Love."
Yep.
Wow.
Adam Levine quit the voice. I know you probably talked
didn't
about
know
that already.
I did. We didn't talk about that.
And the Who is tonight?
That's right.
Oh wow.
Yep.
Little Caesars. It's there.
Shame we had to bleep it out.
I think 106.7 is there. Dr. Rock is there.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Cool. Hopefully we had a good weekend over there. There's an addition to our string on Radio Buzzword.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to read it, but
that would have been fun.
There were some abuse and some compliments.
All right.
Per usual.
Well, now I'm going to have to read it.
I know. It's not that many. It's like 15 more comments. Whatever.
I think it's going to keep going.
But I'm fascinated by how many... The inside radio talk is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
We will see you mañana with Trudy.
Trudy.
Mm-hmm.